and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Blah, 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 blah.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, festering progressives, ineffectual intellectuals, liberal bullies, conservatives. Welcome, one and all nihilists. Good morning to you. I'm leaning more towards your way. I'm going that direction, Riley. I'm heading that direction.
You're going in the nihilist direction?
I don't know, man. It's like the, you know, if the world's going to end, damn it, I'm going to have a little bit of joy in my life, if that's okay. Is that okay with you?
No.
Listen this way.
Bob Jones says it's not okay.
Yeah, we're going to deal with Bob Jones, that bastard. Oh, you hear that? That's a little kitten. You hear that little kitten, Riley?
Yeah.
Well, it's been a while since I gave an update on my brood. Did you call them a brood?
Yeah, that's a brood.
I have four feral kittens, feral, whatever. You want. Whatever. Homage, homage, yeah, whatever.
Tomato, tomato.
Skewered. We're skewering it today. People have been sort of craving an update, some people. The people that aren't like, dude, talk about the issues, man. It's the machines. But some people are looking for... Which, you know, oddly, you know, Debo kicked in, what was that, $2.6 million to some counties in California, but not because there was voter fraud, but because they called them on. There was a lawsuit against Diebold saying that these machines, he said they were unhackable. It turns out that they aren't as good as he said they were. So there's no indication that the machines were removed. There was no indication that they're going to fix the machines. They were just said, here's $2.6 billion. Maybe Bev Harris can have a little bit. A little bit for the county.
Now can I go back to making more faulty machines now?
Yeah, but some action was taken, and you know, Bev Harris might be getting a little money for her cause if you want to give to her cause, blackboxvoting.org. But onward into the kitten scene. I walked into my office. I don't know if I haven't been able to smell for 2 weeks or what, but all of a sudden I got home yesterday, and I went into my office where I keep my four kittens, and man, I was like, it smells like a pet store.
You know why that is, though?
Why? Yeah, I know why. Because I have four cats in my office.
Because those chicken wings we had yesterday opened up your nostrils. Now you can smell it.
I'm done with that, man. You don't realize.
After 4 days in a row, he says, I'm done with it.
It was 2 days of those wings because somebody, you know, suggested it, and then all of a sudden I take one.
I suggested it.
Right, and then I go in, and P.W. McDonald, Brendan's eating, you know, he was talking that he went and said they were great. And then I walk into the Unfiltered office, and their producer, Joe, has got those wings.
Yeah.
Right, and I didn't know that he bought them for him and Kalo. Who's our board guy, if you don't know everybody.
Yeah.
So I walk in, I taste a wing, and I'm like, dude, let's go get wings. I went out the other room, told Kayla, let's go get some wings. Everyone's going to get wings. And then Kayla's trying to be nice to Joe, saying, yeah, we got a meeting with Morning Sedition guys. And then I walk in and go, you coming with us for wings? And Joe just made the sad face. Like, I thought we were friends, and you were going to eat my wings. I'm like, come on, no, let's go. We're going to get wings. And it was awkward for Kayla, but that's not unusual. Kalo is, he's filled with...
He's blunt.
There's a lot of awkward moments, man. But they're good ones. They're good ones because Kalo will own an awkward moment. He will sit in it and let it happen.
Yeah, he doesn't worry about it. It's like, okay, that happened. Next.
So an update on the kittens. All right, the kittens, here's the deal. Monkey, the male kitten, the orange one, the one that was more petrified and tried to dive out of a two-story window when I first got them, but was stopped by the screen and then crawled up into the screen, wedged himself between the window... in the screen for 2 hours. The most petrified of the cats, the one that I thought would never come around, is like my buddy. All right, the black and white cat that I call Hissy, better, she's letting me touch him. But there are two cats that are just pathologically mean.
And now they must be kind of pathologically big, too. How long have you had them? You've had them for a couple of months now.
Yeah,
right?
I guess I got to stop calling them kittens.
I'm assuming
one of them, Riley, is actually the size of my couch. And I'm starting to think, like, maybe this isn't just a domestic cat. Perhaps it is a panther or a tiger that I have in my house. But, man, I went into a frenzy of pine sawing and cleaning yesterday. I was like, I can't have this. I lit a little Locatani scented candle, which I got as a gift. Don't think I meant Locatani buying scented candles for myself. It came in a little swag package over at Conan O'Brien from when I did the show. So don't judge.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm not against the scented candles.
But you know what? It just goes to show, swag always has value. Always. You always find some way to use swag, even if it's not apparent.
Here's how I respond to a lot of swag. Oh, I can go to the gym in this.
Yep.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, isn't that how half the Air America t-shirt, or half the t-shirts we keep on the 40th floor? Because I have like about five of them.
My magic shoes aren't working.
Really?
Dude, I can't, like, I just can't, I, for some reason I can't get to the damn gym, man. And like, I'll just sit there and I'll look at my magic shoes, the shoes that I looked at in the store, and I said, these shoes will make me run. Yeah. These shoes will make me go work out. And now I just go home, and you know what they're saying? Loser. Why don't you eat some more wings? My shoes are, you know, they're like, how about some ice cream? Why don't you put us on to go get a pint of Ben and Jerry's? Come on. That's all you're good for.
Oh, wow.
That's, the amount. I mean, huh?
Judgmental shoes.
Dude, the amount I beat myself up over food is ridiculous. I don't know where, you know, I know exactly where it came from, but enough already. When can I just let myself get fat? What happened? When did all of us men become such, you know, wussies around weight? And I saw Anderson Cooper talked about it. Clutch is like trying to lose a few pounds because he's all of a sudden become a metrosexual geek boy. You know what I mean?
But he's losing the pounds by eating them peppers every day.
Oh, man.
So he sweats green every year. You know.
Talk about sweating, man. We went to get wings with Riley yesterday.
Oh, man, I sweated. I felt Riley's like I was in a sauna.
I can't handle the hot ones anymore. I'll just get the mediums, man. Two wings in, he's dabbing the back of his neck like he's James Brown or preaching at a church.
That's right.
You'd think the poor guy just run two laps.
From now on, it'll be mild or not. But, you know, Dan Pashman doesn't even have any sauce on his wings.
We can't even get into that. There's some weird flaws in the Pashman personality. Dan Pashman, son of Lisa, and Linda Pashman in New Jersey, who, as from what I understand, Linda Pashman has decided that me calling Dan Pashman, son of Lisa, and Linda Pashman in New Jersey, is getting tired. Linda, it never gets tired. And you know, I'll tell you honestly, if you're listening, that I'm impressed that you were actually willing to let that go on some level. That,
yeah.
Like, she has gotten
that
tired.
That level of notoriety.
Yeah, exactly. which is no small thing for a mother.
I know.
A Jewish mother in New Jersey. All right? I have a Jewish mother in Florida.
We're not going to be heard anywhere west of the Hudson by the end of this broadcast.
Really?
Yeah. Jersey's out from now on.
But right now there's people in the Midwest going, Jews? New Jersey? Maybe I should listen to the local radio. Those people shouldn't be listening anyways. That's not true. We welcome everybody. Please.
That's right.
Please. You know, perhaps we should talk about some news because I don't want people to think that we're having a good time because the world is ending and we've got Halliburton stories for real. I don't care what Tucker Carlson says. I know. Halliburton's evil. It's evil. You know, I just, you know, don't you want to just take that guy's bow tie and pull it a little bit until he cries? And
like, or until the Sandman comes.
Yeah. All right. Oh, it's almost 14 past the hour. I'm going to go ahead and wait for it.
Really?
Yeah.
There
it is. We'll be back on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition. It's more than just a commute companion. Listen online at morningsedition.com when you get to work, courtesy of Air America Radio.
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who have reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 1-800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN. Once again, 800-921-BURN.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Selsun Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Selsun Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff. Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Selsun Blue. Selsun Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Selsun Blue. Use as directed.
Fox redefined suspense with the critically acclaimed series 24. Now, we're redefining the medical drama with a groundbreaking new show from the director of X-Men. Meet Dr. Gregory House and his extraordinary team of doctors. Together, they take on the cases that no one else can solve.
I'm not talking about a treatment. I'm talking about a cure.
Disease has met its match. House, a new drama, premiering this Tuesday at 9, 8 Central on Fox.
With a global team of 4,000 news gathering professionals, CNN is the world leader in news and information. And now, on Sirius, join Paul Azan, Anderson Cooper, Larry King, Lou Dobbs, Aaron Brown, and a host of other top news anchors and pros. Get inside the top stories and events of the day, plus business, sports, health, and entertainment. It's your news, your way. 24 hours a day. Sirius, CNN 104.
Are you significant? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. The dictionary defines significant as someone who is noteworthy, valuable, or important. In our culture, we determine our significance by what we have, what we do for a living, and by comparing ourselves to others. But none of these are really good definitions. We should not look at outward signs and appearances to determine our significance. Instead, we should look at our hearts. An ancient proverb says, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to familyminute.net. That's familyminute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills, like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
Hi, this is Steve Earle. There was a time when I believed that getting high enhanced my creativity. After all, I wrote some pretty good songs back then, in between finding drugs and taking drugs and finding means to get more. Then 9 years ago, I got clean. Since then, I've written 150 songs, 400 poems, 11 short stories, a play, a dozen articles and essays, and I'm working on a novel. So much for that theory.
This has been a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
I really wanted to help the homeless, so I donated money to a shelter, which gets them a hot meal and a bed, for the next day they're on the street again. So I started working at a job training center, but the only jobs most of them can get pay minimum wage, so they can't afford a place to live. Now they can't go back to the shelters, because most of the shelters lost their funding when the budget emphasis shifted from housing to job training.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Past the hour, it's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We are here in the morning. It's Friday morning. I'm excited about it. I had a hard time getting up today again.
Me too.
You too?
It's the moon, man. I'm telling you, it's the moon.
Is it the moon?
I think it's the moon. I think it's been like for the last 2-3 days, it's just been, you know, like real sluggish. Real
I like
difficult.
That. I like saying it's the moon. Yeah. I mean, I'll go with you on that. I will be at Boston Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow at the Improv here in New York. Tonight and tomorrow, Boston Comedy Club, also New York. You can go to morningsedition.com and get links to the websites. If you want to come. I will do things that are different than what I do here. I got to put together about a 20-minute chunk about love and insanity, because I'm going to be taping a CD in Seattle. Next month, what are you? You're going to be on TV tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to be on TV here in New York on New York One, for those of you who are familiar with the cable news channel.
Do you want to see what Mark Riley looks like?
Well, you can go to your local post office and see that. That's no big deal.
Oh, because he's on the wanted poster.
That's right.
All right, let's not be unclear about this. Dick Cheney, one of the founders and prime movers of the neocon death cult that now occupies the administration alongside a bunch of fanatical Christian right people. And I'm not talking all Christians. I'm going to qualify this as long as it takes for you people to get it through your heads. I'm talking about crystal fascist whack jobs who want to change how reality is perceived. With their commitment to a insane, narrow-minded, you know, overly moralistic, that's not really moralistic, agenda. Now, Dick Cheney gets over $150,000 in deferred payments each year from Halliburton, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's got about $12.5 million worth of stock in Halliburton, okay? And under Cheney's leadership, the company used, when he was head of Halliburton, used loopholes allowing them to get around sanctions and conduct business through foreign subsidiaries. Under Cheney, Halliburton set up over 20 affiliates in the Cayman Islands to avoid paying taxes. Under Cheney, Halliburton subsidiary, a subsidiary allegedly paid $180 million in bribes to the Nigerian government to get a natural gas project contract in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Under Cheney, murky business dealings allegedly occurred between Iran, our enemy, and a Halliburton subsidiary incorporated in the Cayman Islands, or one of the axis of evil, I should say, not necessarily our enemy personally. I'm sure there are people in Iran that don't like the government there either.
True.
Under Cheney, Halliburton allegedly held stakes in two firms that signed contracts to sell more than $73 million in oil production equipment and spare parts to Iraq, a violation of U.S. sanctions. And that's sort of part of what we're going to be talking about right now, Mark Riley, because you're going to, I'll set it up, of course, and then you're going to make it make sense.
Oh, yeah. It's now, a very interesting situation we got here.
So Waxman, Congressman Waxman, called
Henry Waxman of California.
For further congressional hearings on Halliburton's, the company's contracts in Kuwait and Iraq, because apparently the ambassador of Kuwait was was being a pimp for Halliburton, right?
Well, he was pressuring the Halliburton subsidiary, KBR, Kellogg Brown Root, to do business with a Kuwaiti company called Altamia Commercial Marketing Company.
So he was pimping for the Kuwaiti company.
He was pimping for the Kuwaitis, but he was doing more than just pimping for the Kuwaitis.
Uh-huh.
According to some emails and other documents that have been released by Congressman Waxman, this guy was, like, really pushing very, very hard. Here's a quote from this particular ambassador, Ambassador Richard Jones. This is from an email dated December 2nd, 2003. Tell KBR to get off their butts and conclude deals with Kuwait now. Tell them we want a deal done with Altamia within 24 hours and don't make any excuses. If Ambassador Bremer, you remember him, L. Paul Bremer, the Coalition Provision Authority boss, hears that KBR is still dragging its feet, he will be livid, end quote. Now, let's talk about the scale of all this, because there's some very interesting numbers that come out of all this. Altamia was responsible for trucking gasoline from Kuwait into Iraq, which is strange enough as it is, given all the oil Iraq has in the first place.
Yes.
But after, you know, in the wake of the U.S. invasion, there was very little oil or gasoline to be had. There were long, long lines of Iraqis, civilians, rank and file people, waiting to get, you know, cooking fuel, gas, etc., in an oil-rich country, all right, which is a contradiction by itself.
Mm-hmm.
But they decided, well, we'll truck this stuff in, okay? The Almantia was trucking this stuff in at $2.64 a gallon,
right?
Which is way over what several other companies were prepared to charge to get this stuff moved into Iraq. But the Kuwaiti ambassador, Richard Jones, was the United States ambassador to Kuwait. He pushed to continue using this firm even after the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers began to balk about the cost.
So let me just understand something. That means U.S. taxpayer money that was being, you know, used to rebuild Iraq at this time, or to aid in the in the effort in Iraq, was being, you know, overspent. It was being, there was money going into this Kuwaiti company that was overcharging for this oil, and there was also money going into the Halliburton subsidiary that was not only overcharging for that was overcharging the U.S. government.
Yes, Kellogg Brown and Root.
Okay.
Now they say through September of 2003. The Army had been built out of, I shouldn't say built, overbuilt. shall we use the technical bureaucrat term, $61 million.
Right.
But now here's the real interesting part, Mark Maron. In a filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission last week, Halliburton says that Pentagon auditors had identified $296 million worth of questionable or unsupported costs connected to the contract with the Army Corps of Engineers, and most of that money comes from the fuel overcharging.
Hmm.
All right, now, the $2.64 a gallon, by the way, was double what some of the other companies that had apparently tried to get this bid were actually prepared to charge. And remember, too, and this is now we have to go back and dig this out a little bit, remember that there were guys who worked for Halliburton who copped a plea to getting about $6 million in kickbacks over this same fuel cost issue.
Okay.
Okay. Now, here's the other interesting part about this. There is a guy by the name of Waleed Al-Humaidi.
Yeah.
He is the general manager of said Almantia Commercial Marketing Corporation.
Right.
Now, check out what he says. He says that American diplomats in Kuwait were being shut out of the deal at first with Kellogg, Brown, and Root because, quote, he and his employees were pressured to provide unnamed KBR executives with kickbacks on the humanitarian fuel contract. This is according to an embassy memorandum dated June 29th, 2003. This guy, Humaidi, never provided any details, and he later said that if he was questioned about it in public, he would deny ever having said it.
And this is the same company, you know, this Halliburton and Kellogg Brown and Root, this a subsidiary of Halliburton that, you know, has deep connections to Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney used to run the company, as all of us know by this point.
Yeah, he's still getting money from it. He's got money in a blind trust for this.
The company also agreed to repay the U.S. government $27.4 million for meals that were never served to American troops, all right? This is a company that has sought out to, you know, take care of its own investors, its own, you know, contractors, and our vice president. You know, that's all they seem to care about is these kickbacks and the money that they're going to make at the behest of the taxpayer. And also, you know, while Americans are dying in the streets of Iraq, these war profiteers are so enmeshed in the administration that he's our vice president. And I know this seems like, you know, it's not sour grapes. This is a reality, and there's no other way, you know, to go on the next 4 years, but to continue to take these guys to task for the truth of their agenda, you know, and hopefully, you know, I hope that this country doesn't need to hit too big a bottom before they realize that these guys are not working in the interest of the people. I mean, we're even going to, I think there's even a chance that they're going to cut their Christian right base loose.
Oh, I think that may very well happen. But, you know, we got to be clear about one thing out of all of this Halliburton stuff. They themselves, in a filing with the SEC, said that there could be almost $300 million worth of overcharge.
Why don't Americans care about that? This is part of what you're afraid of. You know, they've created this war to make their own money, and you just think you just think it's about terror. Well, coming up next, there's a retro movement to bring the country back to the Middle Ages. One of the five parents suing the Cobb County School District in Georgia about church and state evolution.
That trial ends today. It's going to be very interesting how it turns out. We're going to be talking with Kathleen Chapman, one of the parents involved. And, of course, we've got the Palm Pilot, we've got the Dog of the Week, and much more here on Air America Radio.
This is a Mother Jones Minute. Last Tuesday gave many of us the election hangover of a lifetime. But the 2004 campaign should also give us reasons to believe this bleak political situation can be turned around. 2 years ago, Democrats were dead in the water, and progressives were playing permanent defense against a popular president whose record got little scrutiny from the media. In 18 short months, progressive organizations formed a grassroots coalition that forced the GOP to pull out every stop in this election. We've seen the launch of key new players in progressive media like Air America, the blossoming of organizations like True Majority and MoveOn.org, and broad coalitions like National Voice, whose promise is only beginning to be fulfilled. These efforts produce huge gains in voter participation among youth, women on their own, communities of color, and first-time voters. Let's not delude ourselves. What's been accomplished isn't enough, and there's tough work ahead. But the time for grief and disbelief is over. Let's celebrate what's been gained and build on it. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Don't settle for stale talk radio. get guaranteed freshness with the new Stephanie Miller Show. Irreverent comedy and liberal attitude. All freshness gated for your protection. Get fresh with Stephanie Miller. 9 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Left 143. Right after the Young Turks and before Alan Cole. Sirius Left and Stephanie Miller. The Freshmakers.
The New York Times calls it an impressive tool. CNN says it's a must-have for travelers. And the Wall Street Journal claims it worked flawlessly. With GoToMyPC.com, you can always have complete and secure access to anything on your office PC from anywhere there's an internet connection. It's fast, it's easy, and it's secure. Log in from any computer in the world, and GoToMyPC will allow you to work with all your programs and files, email, and network resources, just like you were sitting at your desk. Stop carrying your bulky laptop everywhere. No more copying important files back and forth between computers. Try it free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the radio listener button and enter promo code SiriusRadio. That's GoToMyPC.com. Radio listener button, promo code SiriusRadio. Try GoToMyPC.com now, free for 45 days. You'll love it.
This is Earth and Sky. Earth's oceans are known to overturn on a timescale of 1 to 2,000 years.
Scientists refer to this global overturning of seawater as an ocean conveyor belt. One thing it conveys is heat. In the Atlantic, the ocean conveyor belt carries heat from the tropics northward. Without this heat, the region around the North Atlantic would be colder.
Jerry McManus at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Massachusetts has studied the relationship between the ocean conveyor belt and past climate. He and his colleagues have found that the ocean was apparently overturning more slowly 12,000 years ago, at a time when temperatures around the North Atlantic are believed to have been lower.
So there's this very strong connection between climate and ocean circulation. We haven't yet completely demonstrated which of those two drives the other, although the sort of more obvious one is that ocean circulation with its element of heat transport can influence climate.
Climate scientists say that global warming might cause ocean circulation to slow down again as fresh water from melted glaciers and other icy areas enter the ocean. So while the rest of the world warms, the region around the North Atlantic could get colder. Our thanks to the National Science Foundation, where discoveries begin. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad.
Where do you go?
When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Where do you go? Where are you?
Our young people need us now more than ever.
Everyone's popping pills and smoking grass.
Sure, they look up to our superstars, but what they really want is the time and energy of caring adults who make a difference in their lives. A personal hero. You can be that hero. Get involved and help keep our young people drug-free. Your time is their future.
He's not on drugs. He's just weird.
To learn more, call 1-800-729-6686. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Before past the hour, it's Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Dancing a little bit in his chair. It's, morning sedition Air America Radio. Did I say that already? Well, I did say that already? You mean I said it twice?
Well, say it again.
Did I say that we're on morning sedition on Air America? Hey, Ramon just came by, Ray Ray. I think he's
going to revert to Ramon before very long.
Well, he said he actually wanted to be called Rahmed.
And are you sure?
And he was wearing a keffiyeh today.
I thought it was like Ramon because of Alberto Gonzalez.
The guy's weird, but he does have the capacity to get anybody's Palm Pilot schedule anywhere in the world, apparently, because we've got Yasser Arafat's last Palm Pilot, last daily schedule before he slipped into a coma. 7 a.m., wake up. Ask a system which direction Mecca is in. Make a point to finally memorize that. 7:05 a.m., facing Mecca, touch head to ground. 7:06 to 8:30 a.m., have assistance unbend me. 10 a.m., call Ariel Sharon, leave message on his machine making fun of his girly name. God, that never gets old. 1 p.m., time to face Mecca. As for direction again, really should put a post-it somewhere. Put a post-it, remind myself. 2 p.m., dust off Nobel Peace Prize. 2:05 p.m., send 12-year-old strapped with explosives into Israeli pizzeria. Note, send out for a mushroom calzone. 5 p.m., create a lasting peace with Israel. On second thought, nah. 7 p.m., face Mecca. Find out who moved my post-it note. 9 p.m., bedtime. Making note to return this damn tablecloth on my head to Olive Garden. You know what the weird thing is? That he actually had the word rim shot written in his pamphlet. All the rest is sold.
Right? Yes.
So now we're shifting to another topic entirely. The federal lawsuit being heard this week in Atlanta concerns whether the constitutional separation of church and state was violated when suburban Cobb County school officials placed the disclaimer stickers in a high school biology text in 2002. The stickers read, quote, "This textbook contains materials on evolution. Evolution is a theory, not a fact, regarding the origin of living things. This material should be approached with an open mind, studied carefully, and critically considered," end quote. Unlike the Bible. You know,
right.
You know, all of a sudden, theory, as you know, in scientific language, does not mean it's not a fact. It means that it has actually been researched and established. On the phone with us right now is one of the five parents suing the Cobb County School District for unconstitutionally putting disclaimer stickers on the science book. Kathleen Chapman, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being on our show. Could you explain to us how you got involved initially in the lawsuit that's at hand there?
Well, you know, when I found out that the stickers had been placed in the books, actually it was 3 or 4 months after they did it, and
uh-huh.
I figured it was a done deal, and there was nothing I could do about it other than to sue. But I found out, you know, the way I found out about it was reading in the paper about the lawsuit by Jeffrey Selman, which had already existed. And then, you know, after I knew about this, they offered the opportunity for other people to join the lawsuit, and I said, absolutely, I'm in.
Were you outraged, embarrassed, like amazed?
I was amazed, and I was actually shocked, because it's actually a really good school system, and I, you know, this kind of thing I thought was over and done with, and I was really surprised, yeah.
There are people who are saying, certainly Marjorie Rogers, the woman who apparently was the driving force behind the disclaimers, that this is not really a matter of religion, that they are simply saying that evolution is not a fact, and that people, they're kind of appealing to the open mind, I guess, of students and of teachers. What's wrong with that?
Well, that's what she says, and I think that's what the school system was trying to do. I'm not so sure if I believe her motives, but
why would that be?
Well, because she's an avowed creationist, and I think those people, well, from what I've read, and I don't know Marjorie Rogers personally,
okay.
So
okay.
I don't know. I can't
answer
what. But from what I've read, creationists ultimately would like to get evolution just thrown out of the whole curriculum, and this is their way of kind of sneaking in the back door to start that, and that's what I'm afraid of.
They'd like to get reality out of the cultural curriculum.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I do know.
From what I've read, I know that they want to get rid of evolution.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you worried at all that your children, as they get older and perhaps look to go to college, that the stigma of being from a school system where this is done will hurt them?
Well, yeah, that is a concern. Yes, that's definitely a concern. Although, you know, I will say that their policy is much better. The school system's policy now is much better than it used to be. They used to not allow them to. I mean, they used to not require the teaching of evolution at all, the Cobb County school system, as much as recently as 2 years ago, even though the state mandated that it had to be taught.
How'd they get around that?
They revised that, thank God, but, you know, they put the stickers in just to appease the creationists, but to me, when it says it's not a fact, that goes beyond appeasing.
And how's do you have the support of the community down there?
Well, I can't speak for the whole community. It's a large county. There's over 100,000 students in Cobb County schools. But everybody I know, I mean, there have been so many times where people come up to me and thank me for doing this, you know.
And today is the closing arguments are today?
Today, yes.
Right. Oh, well, that's great. And ultimately, what do we hope to gain?
I hope for them to remove the stickers from the textbooks.
Perfect.
And then the whole policy will be perfect if they just take the stickers out.
And how's it been going so far, okay?
You know, it's hard to tell. It's a hard case to prove. So I don't know. We'll see.
Really?
Now, is the judge going to decide this?
Yes. It's just strictly a judge, no jury.
No jury at all.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us, Kathleen. It was great talking to you. We're going to talk a little bit more about the case. It was certainly nice to have your input.
Good, my pleasure.
Okay,
you take care. Wow, it just it amazes me that in this day and age that there's still there really is. I think that what we should start to explore a little bit in terms of this there's a movement within this country that I believe is still a minority movement that is being sort of using propaganda now. We're going to talk a little bit about the moral issues in relation to the election as being somewhat. Misdocumented.
Misapplied.
Yeah. This is still a minority movement with a tremendous amount of people who are willing to get out on out in the world and dispel this, to put forth this propaganda to make it seem to us, relatively, urbane, sophisticated secularists that, that they are a majority and that the country is moving in this direction.
It's an absolute fallacy. But you know what struck me about talking to Kathleen Chapman?
Yeah.
This is no wild-eyed radical.
No.
This is no person that's going to, leading protests or putting up placards or whatever. She sounded like a perfectly normal person who just doesn't want to see creationism promoted in a textbook in her kid's school.
Well, thank God, because, so many of us just sort of like, what can you do about it? And the truth of the matter is a lot of this type of this ideology is infiltrating the school board. That's where they're coming in first. They're coming in through local government. They're coming in through the school board. And they're trying to actually, they are frightening me a bit because it seems to me that they think if they can just pound their ideas through, that, that their limited perception and the lies that they are adhering to, if enough people believe it, then it becomes reality. And that, on some level, is the seeds of fascism.
But you know what? And this is the really scary scenario. Their end game, their end agenda here.
Yeah.
They get these things removed. You know what they're going to start doing?
What?
They're going to start advocating that parents homeschool their children. Now, parents have a right in this country to do that. But what happens then is that the school systems get smaller, the amount of federal dollars that they get and state dollars that these different systems get ends up being less, and that way they end up backdoor bankrupting the school system.
Yeah, but what good is a diploma from your dad?
Well, see, if you go to Bob Jones University, it's fine. You know what I'm saying? They got a network here. If it's Bob Jones or John Hancock or these places, these are now, they're setting up colleges and universities specifically to admit homeschool children or children from places where they teach creationism in the public schools.
To continue the indoctrination.
Absolutely. Why? And then they take them out of that and they get them internships in government. And the next thing you know, you've got a government full of people who believe that. That's their end game.
And
here,
then what happens? All those who don't believe, guess what?
No,
they'll tease us. They'll set a Starbucks up, like in the middle of a parking lot. And we'll be like, hey, what's that over there? It's a Starbucks. Let's go get a latte.
Yeah.
And then the gates will close around us.
Yep. And they'll snap real loud, too.
I don't even drink Starbucks. I don't even know why I use that hacky reference. But you know what I'm saying. It's for effect. Let's go out on this. Donut shop worker down there in Cobb County, Marie Jordan, said her Atlanta customers were shaking their heads over the latest dispute. Quote, Lord, don't we have more important things to worry about? She asked. It's just a flat-out embarrassment.
Did the Lord answer her? Did she say Lord?
Well, of course. He said, can I have a cruller?
Cruller?
And 44 past the hour, Air America Radio. We'll be back in a second.
Hi, this is Rob Corddry from The Daily Show, here to remind you that when top news reporters and investigative journalists like me want their news skewed so far to the left it's wearing a dress, we turn to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Planet. Edge.
Famed tree sitter, author, and activist Julia Butterfly Hill talks about her latest project.
We the Planet is a festival of music, consciousness, and activism, highlighting the solutions to the problems facing our world.
With the festival, Hill's mission is to bring the grassroots to the mainstream.
These conscious ideas that some people perceive as radical or extreme or hippie, really helping them realize that this is a movement for everyone. So part of our tagline is sustainability is sexy and consciousness is cool.
A stellar musical lineup will grace the stage.
The Roots, The Cool, Michelle Shaw, Third Eye Blind, Mickey Hart, and Joan Baez.
We the Planet takes place on Saturday, November 13th in Oakland, California.
The website for our event where people can get more information is wetheplanet.org.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Do you know where your children are on the internet? In the U.S., thousands of children are affected by internet crimes every day across the country. You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Help educate our children.
Join the PCP, Printer Cartridge Recycling Program. Don't toss that cartridge. Call 1-866-STOP-ABUSE.
It doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in preventing internet crimes across the nation. It is an effective project for schools, corporations, businesses, offices, private homes, and best of all, the environment.
Don't toss.
For every cartridge you return, the Child Abuse Unit receives a dollar towards the education on Internet safety.
You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Educate your children.
And remember, it doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in protecting us and promoting Internet safety. Don't toss.
Sponsored by the Child Abuse Unit, SPCC, 1-866-STOP-ABUSE. For more information, go to childabuseunit.com. Keep our children safe on the Internet. Childabuseunit.com.
With a global team of 4,000 news gathering professionals, CNN is the world leader in news and information. And now, on Sirius. Join Paula Zahn, Anderson Cooper, Larry King, Lou Dobbs, Aaron Brown, and a host of other top news anchors and pros. Get inside the top stories and events of the day, plus business, sports, health, and entertainment. It's your news, your way. 24 hours a day. Sirius. CNN 104.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
And we go live now to Andy in the Air and our traffic chopper with today's traffic report.
Thanks, Todd. Traffic is moving smoothly eastbound on Route 1. No delays there. Moderate congestion at exit 17 northbound on the parkway. Expect a 15-minute delay. And there are heavy, heavy delays on the southbound thruway between exit 2 and exit 8 near the shopping center.
Can you see what's going on down there, Andy?
Well, there looks to be an overturned, oversized deli in the right lane. Extremely large, blocking all traffic.
I'm sorry, I don't have a great connection here. Did you say belly?
That's right, Todd, and a rather large one at that. It looks as if someone lost it from walking across the shopping center parking lot to the stores.
Well, there you have it. Heavy congestion due to a heavy belly. Stay tuned for another belly update at the top of the hour.
Small step number 43. Park further from the store and walk. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Black people, a stroke doesn't care about your money or status. Know that it could be a stroke if suddenly you have problems speaking or seeing. Maybe one side gets numb or weak. If any of these occur, act immediately. Call 911. This is Kelly Price.
Blacks have a higher occurrence of stroke. Why is that? Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
hour. It's Mark Maron here on Morning Position with Mark Riley. That's hilarious, Riley. We're sitting here listening to the commercials on our own network.
Yeah.
And Riley's like, hair loss? Nah, what the? Is that what it's going to come to? That's it?
Hair loss?
Hair loss.
Weight loss?
And Riley's sitting there going, I'm losing a little bit. You're not losing any, but the fact is, you're 50, what?
Three.
53. I think you made it. You made it through the time.
The crucial time where hair loss paid to have hair?
Yeah, exactly.
That. I could get girls because I had hair. Because right. I used to have an afro back in the day.
I'm sure. Yeah. I just assume that you almost have an afro now a little bit.
Well, a little
wasn't
bit.
Wasn't it a rule?
I just haven't visited my stylist lately.
But wasn't it a rule in the 70s that all black people had to have the big afro?
Well, unless you played professional basketball. Oh,
Dr.
No,
J had one?
No, the Nation of Islam.
Yeah.
The Nation of Islam did not allow afro, still don't.
Oh, really? So
yeah, man, they had to have the Quo Vadises, the Caesars, where your hair is all clipped back up in here and squared off in the back.
What is that called? A Quo Vadis?
Quo Vadis.
Okay.
Yeah, a Caesar.
Wow, man, I gotta write that down.
That's a Roman reference. Don't ask me why black people are referring to the Romans when it comes to our own haircuts, but what the hell?
I just love that. Like, we're still worrying about it. You're 53, and it's sort of like, oh, no, I'm starting to lose. You made it through, man.
I know, but this is a whole baby boom thing now. What's next? And
they're making us hurt. Yeah, they're making us hate ourselves.
That's what they're doing.
Now, they used to do it to girls and made them anorexics. Now they're doing it to middle-aged guys, making us feel like, we're just worthless if we don't have abs.
Abs, like. Yeah. Look right like Jessica Alba, for God's sake.
Right now it's time. That's right. Mark Riley's Dog of the Week. What do you got there, Riley?
What a week it was for dogs, Mark Maron. There was a Chicago teacher accused of paying two students to have sex with her. Then there are the groups complaining about the televised showing of Saving Private Ryan, curses and all, a full year after the first time it's been on. Right. And, of course, we just dealt with the whole foolishness in Cobb County. Yet these dogs pale in comparison to a guy who's been doggish since the day he learned how to talk. Bob Jones III is president of the Christian Fundamentalist School named after, guess who? Bob Jones, in South Carolina. You may remember Bob Jones University. It was a place that prohibited interracial dating until just 4 years ago. These guys don't even like Catholics all that much, with stuff on their website that questions that faith. It was also the first stop for then-candidate George W. Bush when he kicked off his 2000 presidential bid. Now Bob Jones III has sent a letter to the president congratulating him on winning this year's election. No big deal there, yet a close look at the letter reveals a great deal about what the fundamentalist agenda really is.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Jones tells the president he owes liberals nothing because, quoting here, they despise you because they despised your Christ, unquote. Jones also talks about getting legislation passed that is defined by a biblical norm. Would that be the same biblical norm that led Bob Jones University to ban interracial dating? Jones himself couldn't even find justification in the good book for that one.
Yeah.
For this and other transgressions, current and historic, Bob Jones III stands alone as the Morning Sedition Dog of the Week.
Isn't that the truth? I got it. We have the full text of the Bob Jones letter to the president. I guess we can read it now. And
you want to read? We could save it, man. I mean, Bob Jones. See, because I get a feeling that Bob Jones is a lot like Strom Thurmond. I think there's probably a black woman somewhere in Bob Jones's past.
Yeah.
And that's why he went through the whole banning of interracial dating until just 4 years ago. And it was only after Bush got all that flack about, visiting Bob Jones University. Everybody stood up and said, yeah, that's a place where they don't even let blacks and whites date. And then suddenly he goes on Larry King and says, oh, well, you know what? We rescinded that because I couldn't find anything in the Bible that said that. That wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah, they rescinded it after they made sure that people knew it wasn't going to happen. It becomes, what do you call that, the secret code?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just because if something is, in the rule book initially, and then midway through, they're like, well, that's no longer a rule, but it's understood.
But it's understood. Yeah, well, I think he may be starting a new school called the Bob Jones College for Mulattoes.
Okay.
Yeah. What? I don't understand. I really don't.
Apparently just to educate his secret children.
His secret children. That's right. Him and Strom.
Exactly. I have to admit, I had a Jew fro.
Really?
Yeah, there was a period in time where I actually had very curly hair when I was younger, and I let it go out.
Really?
Yeah.
You use a pick?
No, I tried.
You didn't go to the drugstore and buy an Afro pic, did you? Have the white woman at the counter look at you like, what are you, a militant?
The Afro pic with the little
fist. With the little fist on it, yeah.
My friend Dave had one of those.
Hey, when the revolution comes, oh, sorry.
We'll be ready.
Yeah, we'll be ready. Yeah, well, the revolution came and we lost. So what can I tell you?
We're going to win someday, Mark Riley. We all will.
Yes,
I, you know, the thing about gods and about creation myths and about all this, you know, stupid stuff that's going on in Cobb County is that you forget that you have, there's like literally dozens of creation myths to choose from.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are all kinds. It's not just the seven-day thing.
Yeah. Do you know about the Chinese creation myth of Pangu?
No.
Yes, the method of creation is a broken egg. After an 18,000-year slumber, Pangu cracked the egg of the universe open, forming the heavens with the clear, gooey part and the earth with the chunky part. The creations of humans in the Pangu myth. Pangu died after holding the earth and the heavens apart for another 18,000 years. The hair on his body turned into flowers and trees. The fleas and lice in the hair turned into people. Why not that one?
Did that itch?
I wonder what they would think if, like, it wasn't, like, an actual scientific theory based on our evolution from primates, but it's like people are actually just, you know, the lice and the fleas in the hair of God.
Is that what led Chairman Mao to ban religion in China?
I think that what led Chairman Mao to ban religion in China is exactly what these people are doing by banning any other type of thinking.
Yeah.
They are trying to limit the perception of the populace to the way they want it to be, call that reality by scaring the hell out of everybody else, or in Mao's case, killing them.
Then,
you know, changing the government of the entire country into some sort of totalitarian state where everybody has a Ten Commandment patch over their, their little medals for maybe, hurting gay people intolerant.
Meritorious
medals.
Service.
Yeah, and a little cross armband. The Iroquois creation myth is the sky woman, the sky people. Method of creation, a turtle shell and mud. The sky woman was booted out of the sky by her husband after getting pregnant. She landed on the back of a turtle, floating amidst endless water. Other animals began gathering dirt from the bottom of the water and piling it on the back of the turtle until it became the size of North America.
Wow.
I like that.
I like that one.
Yeah, it doesn't accommodate the rest of the world. Just like, you know, everyone else, you know, we don't know how you got here, but we got here on the turtle.
On the turtle.
All right, it's a pregnant woman on a turtle. That's our country.
And you know what? America kind of looks like a turtle.
Sure, sure. I mean, I think it's right on the money. And the creation of humans, obviously birthed by the sky woman after, you know, the turtle got covered in mud and made the place where the kids can play in the mud.
Well, you know, you got Hindus that got their own creationism. The Bantus have their own creationism. The Scandinavians... Just in case you think it's only people of color who have these different creation theories, the Scandinavians have their own thing, Odin.
Oh, yeah. Clutch Larson believes in Odin.
Really?
No.
No.
He's very in Nazi.
I don't know. They may call him Odin somewhere.
He's from the Scandinavian tradition of weird, sort of, you know, passive-aggressive, unemotional people. Anyways, the...
You don't need to do a liberal agenda now. You've got it done.
Here's the liberal agenda. 1, 10 days since the election, try to spend less than an hour shivering in the fetal position. 2, blame U.S. policy for the problems in the Ivory Coast. If time permits, find out what the problems in the Ivory Coast actually are. 3, find an unused color for a ribbon to promote awareness of people suffering from major head trips. 4, before a new nominee is named, point out that we've never had a Secretary of Commerce who believed in the barter system. Wake up, people. 5, phrase of the day, quote, you know that Attorney General Designate Gonzalez wrote those torture memos on non-recycled paper, man.
Whoa.
That's right. There's a lot of things wrong.
Uh-oh.
What's coming up?
Man,
We're
going to do the Bob Jones letter. We're going to talk with Noah Feldman, the Associate Professor of Law at NYU. He's going to talk about a number of different things, including Cobb County. And, of course, the Dream Diary coming up all here on Air America Radio.
Hey, sports fans, when you tune into Sirius Sports Radio, you want to hear about football. You want to hear about baseball. You want to hear about sports. And there's something else you should hear about, how to get good tickets for the game. When it comes to tickets for sporting events, you got to check out StubHub.com. Started by 2-season ticket holders, StubHub.com is the number one site for sports, concerts, and theater tickets nationwide. Since StubHub tickets come directly from season ticket holders, you're getting access to the best seats. We're talking front row, behind home plate, on the 50, you name it. StubHub.com's Got it. So, you want tickets for an exciting sporting event or sold-out show? No problem. Just go to StubHub.com, find the seats you want, and your tickets will be delivered fast via FedEx. When you use StubHub.com, you'll always get the tickets you want in time for the game, 100% guaranteed. All right, here's the recap. Can't use your tickets? Sell them on StubHub.com. Want tickets? Go to StubHub.com. That's StubHub. Visit StubHub.com today or call 1-866-STUBHUB.
StubHub!
Compromise off. Serious on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Serious. It's on.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. A plane carrying Yasser Arafat's casket has taken off from Egypt, beginning the final journey back to the West Bank, where the Palestinian leader will be buried. Arafat will be buried in his Ramallah compound. The Fatah leader says Arafat will be buried in a bare concrete box so that he can be reinterred in Jerusalem when that becomes possible. Osama Siblani is the publisher of the Arab American News. Siblani says Yasser Arafat's legacy will be seen beyond Palestinian matters.
Yasser Arafat is the leader of those who are seeking justice everywhere, those who are seeking freedom everywhere, those who are oppressed everywhere. Yasser Arafat, the symbol of justice and freedom around the world. And this is how he will be remembered. This is how the history will judge him.
Arafat died Thursday at a hospital in France. A fight at a Jerusalem holy site today. Hundreds of Palestinian youths scuffled with Israeli police, the police barring them from prayers, afraid of riots and unrest during Yasser Arafat's funeral. The angry worshippers, some of them crying, put together a makeshift prayer service on the street. Police now on highest state of alert, with all leaves canceled amid worries that the prayers for the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan, together with mourning for Arafat, would get out of control. Arafat is to be buried in about 2 hours from now at his West Bank headquarters in the city of Ramallah. Police restricting access to the holy sites to male worshippers, barring West Bank residents and allowing only Jerusalem residents above the age of 45 to enter. U.S. forces are pushing back insurgents in Fallujah in an effort to corner them. Army and Marine units have pushed deeper into the southern reaches of Fallujah backed by airstrikes from FA-18s and AC-130 gunships. U.S. forces have turned back hundreds of men who are trying to flee the city. Troops are allowing only women, children, and elderly to leave. President Bush and Britain's Tony Blair close out 2 days of talks at the White House today. A joint news conference is planned after this morning's Oval talks. Bush and Blair spent time on the prospects for Mideast peace after Yasser Arafat's passing. Bush has called the Palestinian chief's passing an opening, and Blair says creating a peaceful Palestinian state must be the international community's highest priority. The meetings come as U.S. and Iraqi forces try to smash rebel holdouts in the insurgent stronghold of Fallujah. More study is needed on Gulf War illnesses, that from a government advisory committee studying veteran medical records for the past 2 years. Stating that our troops are exposed to toxic substances, the Research Advisory Committee on Gulf War Illness wants the government to spend at least $60 million over the next 4 years studying the vets from the 1991 war and their children. Another recommendation of the committee, have our government streamline its research to focus on finding a cure for the veterans of exposure to neurotoxins during the 1991 conflict. You are listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
Don't settle for stale talk radio. Get guaranteed freshness with the new Stephanie Miller Show. Irreverent comedy and liberal attitude. All freshness dated for your protection. Get fresh with Stephanie Miller. 9 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Left 143. Right after the Young Turks and before Alan Cole. Sirius Left and Stephanie Miller. The Freshmakers.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lycos with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're just nodding off when suddenly... Don't you wish you could do something about these pesky car alarms? You can, and I'll tell you what. When we come back. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com.
If the monotonous whoop whoop of car alarms has you putting in earplugs and pulling out your hair, you're not alone. According to a Columbia University study, almost 95% of all audible car alarms are false. But before you take out your sleep deprivation with a baseball bat, check your city's noise ordinance codes. Many alarms are considered a violation and ticketable offense. So what's the best bet for automotive protection? Alarm alternatives such as pager notification, GPS tracking systems, and electrical immobilizers essentially provide the same protection without all the, pardon the pun, bells and whistles. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Blah, 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 blah. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, festering progressives, ineffectual intellectuals, liberal bullies, conservatives, people in red states who enjoy us. Good morning to you. Remember, get rid of that electoral map. Man, people are still hung up on it. People are still freaking out about the red states. Look, in Georgia, 41% voted against Bush. Colorado, 47% voted against Bush. Kentucky, 40% voted against Bush. Arizona, 44% in that place. Arkansas, 45% voted against Bush. Missouri, 46% voted against Bush. Nevada, 48% voted against Bush. Virginia, 45%. West Virginia, 43%. North Carolina, 44%. South Carolina, 41%. Tennessee, 43%, Mississippi, 41%, Louisiana, 42%, Florida, 47%, at least, Texas, 38%. So stop looking at that. There's a lot of people on the same page as you. We can't break apart this country because, I'll be honest with you, Mark Riley, good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Can I say a special good morning to some?
Of course.
To the black guy at Bob Jones University.
The one black guy?
He's there on a basketball scholarship.
Are you serious?
No, I don't know.
I was going to say, that's a tough place to be.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
The one, because, you know, he would have to be, like, really Christian.
Clarence Thomas's kid, maybe. I don't know. Wait a minute. He's the product of an interracial marriage, Clarence Thomas, if he has a kid.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, so Bob Jones for you, pal.
That would be the idea that you had before, the mulatto wing.
Yeah, the mulatto wing of Bob Jones.
The Bob Jones Mulatto Institute.
Yes.
Yeah. But, no, again, I used the word Christian the wrong way. Bob Jones-style Christian. Okay? I'm not saying all Christians. I just want to be careful about that because I have been convinced by people, liberal Christians, you know, not only, it didn't take much convincing to know that Jesus was a liberal.
Yes.
But it did take me a while from doing the show and engaging with our audience to understand that there are Christians out there that are not fanatical, delusionary whack jobs who want to be part of a fascist movement that takes over this country. And honestly, Mark Riley, because of this story that's sitting in front of me right now, I'm starting to believe that that force is not as big as they are trying to make us believe.
Well, yeah, there are now questions that are starting to come out about the exit polling that said that 22%, the highest percentage of any issue, 22% of the people they surveyed felt that moral values were the most important issue facing the country. Now, this is a question I asked you earlier before we went on the air, Mark.
Yeah, let's ask it on the air now.
Let's ask it on the air. Good. Which survey is more valid? A survey that has a list of issues like Iraq and taxes and education, or a survey that simply asks the question and lets the respondent choose their own issue.
I think that it has to be to choose your own issue. It
would
have
I would
to be.
Think so,
and,
yeah.
And then they'd have to categorize those. Because, like, honestly, if I said, you know, what do you want for breakfast? Then you'd be like, I don't know, I could have the eggs.
The pancakes or the eggs. Or whatever.
But if I said, would you prefer pancakes for breakfast?
Eggs or sausage? You'd have to choose one.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of like with Dan Pashman.
Is that quite, was that quite right? Is that the right analogy?
No, it's a perfect analogy. If you have a list of choices, you're going to pick from one of the choices. Very few people, if they're surveyed and they have a list of seven choices, are going to say, well, none of those are it. I believe in choice number eight.
Yeah. But also I would think that, you know, if it were me and I was being polled, it'd be like, okay, yeah, pancakes. And then, like, right when the poll was like, oh, right, pancakes. No, eggs. I want eggs. And then the guy'd be like, okay, eggs.
Can I get both?
Can I get bacon? Yeah, can I get pancakes and eggs? And then they'd just go, look, was it moral values?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
moral
it. Values. Okay. Well, don't have the pancakes. Can I have the eggs on a separate plate?
Yeah.
I mean, it really does come down to that. Because the exit polling that people are citing so much in terms of moral values was the first example we used. One where they had a list of issues and asked the respondents to pick from one of those issues.
Mm-hmm.
Where now people are saying, well, wait a minute, you know what? If we had asked the question differently, or if this survey had asked the question differently, you might have come up with a very different set of answers.
Because I read an Arianna Huffington piece yesterday, and sometimes, you know, she's great. And it was about Democratic strategy and about the idea that, you know, this moral value thing, it really is sort of a myth that's been building, and it's a myth they're propagating, you know, because they want us to believe that they are a massive group. Even in that story about that we got today about Saving Sergeant Ryan, the name of the organization, which is part of Wildman's group, a million moms and a million dads.
Yeah.
They're very careful to have a lot of different organizations that are all under the same umbrella to make us believe that the momentum of this movement within this country is undeniable. But when I read a story about these exit polls and about this moral values myth, that means that they are less of a threat than we think they are in terms of numbers, but more of a threat than we think they are in terms of defining culture and being a political momentum.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, look, you know, there have been a number of different surveys now that are speaking to the question of whether moral values was what everybody felt was. Even a conservative, the likes of Charles Krauthammer, who I don't really care for all that much. But he's starting to question it now.
Yeah.
He's saying that it's, you know, more liberal bias.
Well, here's who they are. This is a letter from Bob Jones.
Oh, yeah.
To President George W. Bush. A congratulatory letter from Bob Jones University. Dr. Bob Jones. Dear Mr. President, the media tells us that you've received the largest number of popular votes of any president in America's history. Congratulations. He also received the largest number of votes against him.
Yeah, sometimes we quibble.
Yeah. In your re-election, God has graciously granted America, though she doesn't deserve it, a reprieve from the agenda of paganism. You have been given a mandate. We, the people, expect your voice to be like the clear and certain sound of a trumpet, the trumpet that heralds the end of the world.
Da, 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 da.
The falling of the world of Jericho. The walls of Jericho will fall. The trumpets of the rapture. I'm adding this. Right. So the sound of a trumpet. Because you seek the Lord daily, we who know the Lord will follow that kind of voice eagerly. So that's interesting that if you know the Lord candidly, that it becomes very clear to you that George Bush is speaking for the Lord.
Well, you know that the whole know the Lord thing. I don't know what they mean by it. Is that like, you know, Adam knew Eve?
Hey,
not
hey,
that kind
easy,
of knowing.
Easy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a little weird, but I'm with you. Don't equivocate. Put your agenda on the front burner and let it boil. That's right. Let's burn everybody. Let's do that. Let's start burning people that don't want to meet, that don't want compromise and don't want to, you know, let's burn people that want to, you know, be, you know, fight for freedom and liberal causes. You owe the liberals nothing. This is what it says. Don't equivocate. Put your agenda on your gender. What am I, my dad? Put your agenda on the front burner and let it boil. You owe the liberals nothing. They despise you because they despise your Christ. Honor the Lord and he will honor you. Do you hear that, Christians who are on the correct side of things? They despise you because they despise your Christ. Is there a Christ ownership thing that I'm not aware of?
Well, yeah, because if you know the Lord, the next step, of course, is owning the Lord.
Do you hear that, liberal Christians? Had your opponent won, I would have still given thanks because the Bible says I must, and in parentheses, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. At parentheses,
It would have been hard, but because the word lifts up whom he will and pulls down whom he will, I would have done it. Wow, well, that's a condescending compromise to make retroactively. It is easy to rejoice today because Christ has allowed you to be his servant in this nation for another presidential term. Undoubtedly, yeah, that's secret code for you're our bitch.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Undoubtedly, you will have opportunity to appoint many conservative judges and exercise forceful leadership with the Congress in passing legislation that is defined by biblical norm regarding the family, sexuality, sanctity of life, religious freedom, freedom of speech, and limited government. Wow, they discuss limited government in the scripture. None of these things are talked about in the Bible. This is the way they are building the foundation of their movement.
Wait a minute, you mean there's nothing in the commandments that says thou shalt not expand government?
Not that I know of. You have 4 years, a brief time only, to leave an imprint for righteousness upon this nation that brings with it the blessings of Almighty God. So please, end the world quickly. We're ready to go. No, I'm sorry. That's not. Christ said, quote, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Talk funny.
Yeah, they do talk funny, don't they? Could they put that in plain English?
John 12:26. Let's not mock the... Let's do it. You go ahead. I'm happy when
you do it. No, because, you know...
Because I am evil, Riley, and I am sucking you into my pagan ways.
Wait a minute. We're on the top floor of the building. If we get struck, you know...
I'm going to finish in a minute. Give us a call, will you? 866-303-2270. I'll read you the P.S. in a minute. That's a kicker. Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition. We can't do it without you. Call us at 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270. Right here on Air America Radio.
My credit card bills are getting out of hand. 12%, 18%, even 24%? I can't get ahead. There's no money left over after paying bills.
You need help now.
But what can I do?
If you're a homeowner, you need to call Omega Mortgage Acceptance Corporation. In fact, at Omega Mortgage, they've actually lowered rates, reduced payments, and delivered the cash needed to thousands of homeowners.
I can even have money left over for the holidays?
That's right. And at Omega Mortgage, they make home loans easy and can approve you in less than 20 minutes. You won't be buried in heaps of paperwork or mountains of documentation. You don't even need tax returns. Great if you're self-employed.
But I've had mortgage late. Can they really help me?
No problem. Credit card lates, mortgage lates, even bankruptcy. Omega Mortgage specializes in home loans for homeowners just like you. Call right now to lower your payments and get cash in your hands in time for the holidays. 888-32-APPLY. 888-32-APPLY. Get approved in less than 20 minutes. Call 888-32-APPLY. That's 888-322-7759. Licensed by Cal VRE number 01411312. Call 888-32-APPLY.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows, and my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't doing enough. I still had flakes, and my scalp felt dry and itchy. So I switched to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers.
Doctor recommended Celsin Blue as a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff, plus it keeps hair and scalp healthy and itch-free.
If your dandruff shampoo can't handle black, do what I did. Switch to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo.
Never wear black without the blue. Celsin Blue. Use as directed.
Fox redefined suspense with the critically acclaimed series 24. Now we're redefining the medical drama with a groundbreaking new show from the director of X-Men. Meet Dr. Gregory House and his extraordinary team of doctors. Together, they take on the cases that no one else can solve.
I'm not talking about a treatment. I'm not talking about a cure.
Disease has met its match. House, a new drama, premiering this Tuesday at 9, 8 Central on Fox.
With a global team of 4,000 news-gathering professionals, CNN is the world leader in news and information. And now, on Sirius, join Paula Zahn, Anderson Cooper, Larry King, Lou Dobbs, Aaron Brown, and a host of other top news anchors and pros. Get inside the top stories and events of the day, plus business, sports, health, and entertainment. It's your news, your way. 24 hours a day. Sirius, CNN 104.
All your important files are on your office PC. What do you do when you want to work from home or access a file while traveling? You copy files to disk, email documents home, or sync up your laptop. What a hassle. Now, there's a perfect solution for working from anywhere at any time. With GoToMyPC.com, you can always have complete access to everything on your office PC from any other internet-connected computer. It's easy to use and highly secure. You simply log into GoToMyPC.com and your office PC appears just as if you were at your desk. Work with all your programs and files. Check emails and access your network. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the radio listener button and enter promo code SIRIUS. GoToMyPC is incredibly easy to use. Setup is completely automatic and it takes less than 2 minutes. That's GoToMyPC.com. Radio listener button, promo code SIRIUS. Try GoToMyPC.com now. Free for 45 days.
Are you significant? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. The dictionary defines significant as someone who is noteworthy, valuable, or important. In our culture, we determine our significance by what we have, what we do for a living, and by comparing ourselves to others. But none of these are really good definitions. We should not look at outward signs and appearances to determine our significance. Instead, we should look at our hearts. An ancient proverb says, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Want to influence a child's life? Wear your seatbelt. Research shows that when a driver doesn't wear a seatbelt, 70% of the time the children in that car don't either. And an unbuckled child is in danger. Traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for children. Help us stop unbuckled adults from endangering children's lives. There's just too much to lose. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Buckle Up America.
Lining up your phone calls on the phone at 866-303-2270. I'm going to read you the last bit of this letter from Bob Jones III to our president. But first, I went to the therapist yesterday. Man, it was a lot of like, why can't I go to the gym? Why does my life suck? But then I dumped all my dreams on him, and here's the first one with an open mind last night. I come home, and there's my dead cat Butch and the four strays in the living room, surrounding this 22-year-old dude with long hair, a Bun Dutch t-shirt, and an earring. They've tied him to the chair with electrical tape. His mouth is covered with a Read Defeat Bush bumper sticker. Butch has one sharp claw poised under the kid's chin. She says, ah, Mark, come in. Have you ever seen a traitor up close? I said, what the hell are you doing? Butch blows smoke in the kid's face and says, this one was bragging about not voting last Tuesday. So me and my comrades followed him through the mall and abducted him for re-education. See how the little man has soiled himself. Perhaps from his own ways something sweeter will grow. I said, Butch, a lot of people didn't vote. I don't like them. I don't want them in my house, but you can't run around kidnapping people. Butch says, I am humanity's gardener. I am merely pruning the weeds. You delicate liberals would let a pustule such as this choke the life from your begonias. As always, I am left to do your dirty work. Fortunately, I have a talent for it. I say, look, all you have a talent for is humping in front of strangers. Butch says, true, that was 5 minutes ago. It was delicious. I say, yeah, I'll bet, Butch. Look, even a guy like this gets a trial, okay? We should let him say something at least. Butch stubs a cigarette out and says, very well, some must learn the hard way. And so one of the strays rips the bumper sticker off the kid's mouth. He says, you're a total a-hole, dude, and so is your cat. I say, sorry, man, I'm going to let you go, but first I want to hear what you have to say. So he sneers at me and he says, well, a-hole, what I was telling my friends is that there's no difference between the parties, man. If you vote, you're just kidding yourself. Bush, Kerry, Bush, whatever. I take a long breath to calm myself.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I don't agree with you, and maybe we just need to work on our message a little bit. The kid says, I got my message out, dumbass. I got my own blog, and I got thousands of hits. I probably kept hundreds of dudes from voting. Everything went red. The temperature went up 20 degrees. The words, you dumb bastard, escaped my lips, and I jumped him. It took the strays 10 minutes to pull me off him. Still, I got in some quality shots. And he'll never wear that stupid earring again. I promise you that. I woke up, and my bed was filled with Cocoa Puffs.
Hey, you know, there was something in there that really struck me.
Yeah.
Choked begonias.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Too deep for me.
All right, here's the rest of the letter. The student body, faculty, and staff at Bob Jones University commit ourselves to pray for you, that you would do right and honor the Savior. Pull out all the stops and make a difference. If you have weaklings around you who do not share your biblical values, shed yourself of them. Conservative Americans would love to see one president who doesn't care whether he is liked, but cares infinitely that he does right. Man, the arrogance of this bastard. Best wishes. Sincerely, your friend, Bob Jones III, President. Here's a P.S. A few moments ago, I read this letter to the students in a chapel. In chapel, they applauded loudly their approval. When I told them that Tom Daschle is no longer the minority leader of the Senate, they cheered again. Oh, man, let's take some calls.
Yeah, let's do that.
One more part? You want me to read that last part, Jonathan? Is that what you're saying? On occasion, Christians have not agreed with things you've said during your first term. Nonetheless, we could not be more thankful that God has given you 4 more years to serve him in the White House, never taking off your Christian faith and laying it aside as a man takes off a jacket, but living, speaking, and making decisions as one who knows the Bible to be eternally true.
God, that scares me.
Considering everything that's gone on, everything that goes on today, the people dying in Iraq, the corruption within his own administration, the 45 million people who are uninsured, the 35 million people living in poverty, the unemployed people that keeps growing the numbers, that poverty never even plays into his sense of morality is ridiculous.
Of course.
Let's take a call. Here we go. Kathy in Florida, listening to WINZ. Good morning.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
I'm from the red state that I think is really blue. I just want to tell you that I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I've discovered Air America. It's been a breath of fresh air.
Oh,
I just wanted to talk about the question, that open-ended question that was kind of asked voters.
Yeah.
When they left the polls, I think everybody votes on their morality in the sense that, for instance, I'm morally against the war.
Right.
I'm morally against a lot of things. So that really doesn't tell you much.
Right.
A conservative would have a different opinion than a liberal.
Uh-huh.
As far as the Jones College, who are these people?
they're a real. This is a real movement in this country of homeschooling and these Christian colleges.
Yeah, they've been around. Yeah. Bob Jones has been around for a minute now. Bush caught a lot of flack when he went there to open his campaign in 2000.
Thanks a lot for your call, Kathy. The weird thing about moral values is that there is a context to democratic morality in this country.
Yes.
The Constitution, is a moral context. And that, when you start talking about, especially, the rights of gay people to get married, just the rights of people, that's really not a moral issue. It's not a wedge issue. It's a human issue. It's a human rights issue. It's a family rights issue. I mean, there is a context to the reason the Constitution lives and breathes and can be interpreted and grow along with the culture and with the way civilization is heading in this country is as long as these people don't start imposing, their interpretation of the Bible on our Constitution.
That's the thing that I think, Mark, they really don't understand, that the secular nature of the United States government has given them the ability to grow and be nurtured in an environment where everything is tolerated as far as religion is concerned.
Right. Lisa in New Jersey listening to WLIB. Good morning.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right. How you doing?
I'm miserable. I'm going over the Captain's Bay Bridge. It's ugly.
Well, good. You just gave a free traffic report.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. 45 miles an hour. That's all I can tell you, bumper to bumper.
Okay. Thank you.
Yesterday, Reverend Forbes, I believe,
yes.
Riverside Church,
yes.
Fabulous. I was going over this bridge again, and all I kept saying was yes, yes, yes. He was saying everything that I felt.
Yeah, he was great. We're going to replay that.
Fabulous. I mean, where he was saying, yes, we are quiet because we have this live and let live mentality. which is the way it should be.
Right.
It's, you know, and Oral Roberts, who would name your child Oral?
Yeah, that's true. We're coming up on a hard break here, Lisa. Thank you for your call. We're going to replay Reverend Forbes' interview
tomorrow
on our
best of morning's edition.
Oral Roberts, yeah, and Bob Jones. Yeah,
hey, wait a minute. There was a guy named Oral Hershiser. He was a baseball player. Somebody named their kid Oral.
Yeah. BJ's another bad one. Anyway, what do we got?
We got Noah Feldman coming up. Okay. He's going to talk about Alberto Gonzalez and about Iraq. We've also got the Morning's Edition Business Report, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and more here on Air America Radio.
Because the state of our feelings can narrow the range of our insights, deceptions are easily hidden in presumptions of innocence. And because every brick in hell is molded by habits and perspectives, war is always compelled by limits and understanding. Therefore, for dignity, please remember, any spiritual precept thought to be above criticism is too vainly filled with pride to leave room for divine humanity or moral governance. For contemplative education at Motto Citizens, behind the book and the oracle for the way to see whole, my name is Gola Wolf Richards. And for victory over blood spilled by confusion, I believe that nothing beats a failure but a try. Therefore, I wrote and recorded Silver Lessons for Global Citizenship, among other works that are speaking for virtue at MOTTOCitizens.com.
Global team of 4,000 news gathering professionals, CNN is the world leader in news and information. And now, on Sirius, join Paula Zahn, Anderson Cooper, Larry King, Lou Dobbs, Aaron Brown, and a host of other top news anchors and pros. Get inside the top stories and events of the day, plus business, sports, health, and entertainment. It's your news, your way. 24 hours a day. Sirius, CNN 104.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Tanya emails wanting to know what I think of home warranties. I'll tell her after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Tanya emails with a home warranty question. How do you feel about home warranties like Home Shield? Listen, let's talk about all kinds of warranties. Extended warranties on cars, home warranties, prepaid legal, any kind of insurance like that. Let's think about it. If we were to sell 1,000 people that $300 item, that would be $300,000 of income that we had, right? If we owned the insurance company, you and I owned Home Shield. That means if we sold 1,000 people that, we'd have $300,000 of income. Now, what would our expenses be? All the things that the 1,000 people turned in that broke on their homes. Now, you can bet, since this is an insurance company, that they've done a statistical analysis, and they know that that's going to be well less than $300,000, can't you? So why don't you just get in the insurance business on extended warranties and self-insure through these things with Grandma's Rainy Day Fund, and then you get to put all the marketing budget and the profit and all those things in your pocket. There's a plan.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Hey, kid, are you in the car with your parents right now? Have they ever asked you about the drug ecstasy? Probably not, right? They still think parties are all about getting drunk. Or that drugs are something only bad kids would do. Hey, they never asked. They'll never know the ease used by good kids, just like you. They'll never know about those bottles in your bedroom that look like vitamins or that glow stick jewelry. They'll never know that E can cause seizures, strokes, heart attacks, or death. Even the first time you use it. Yeah, you sure got them fooled, all right.
Ask Your Kids About E right now. Then go to AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
The Consultant Pharmacist is your own personal health care consultant. You'll find them in nursing homes, other long-term care settings, and in your community. Anywhere there's a need for high-level medication management. But Consultant Pharmacy is more than just managing medications. It's about helping people live better and longer lives. This message brought to you by the American Society of Consultant Pharmacists.
Attention swimmers, get out of the water. Everybody, out of the water immediately.
Dude, is that... It's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too.
That mom, who's been swimming a lot with her kids, must have lost them.
Whoa. I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council. Andy, you
can drive my car. Hi, I'm Edward James Olmos. I'm here to talk to you about RAD, Recording Artists, Actors, and Athletes Against Drunk Driving. Think about it. You have choices that you can make in your life. Good choices and bad ones. Drinking and driving, bad choice. Why? The life you may take may even be your own. Think about it. Drinking and driving doesn't mix. Get a designated driver.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Past the hour, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. You're listening to Morning Edition on Air America Radio. We'll be talking to Noah Feldman here in a minute about the Constitution, ours and Iraq's. We are also going to be, we need an intern. All right, so if you're out there, sedition at airamericaradio.com. We need an intern. We're willing to negotiate. We need help.
Yeah.
Clutch Larson is losing his clutches. It's getting away from him.
The password won't go out anymore.
The center cannot hold. We need an intern. But right now, and also we want those stories, the local hero stories. We're going to start doing a segment where we're going to be interviewing people who are actually taking action, as opposed to just forwarding emails and talking about taking action. Here we go. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 137. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. Looks like we're going to win in Fallujah. Yeah, go ahead. Do your little end zone dance. But we're only in, like, the second quarter, my friends. And this thing, we don't control the clock. Do you understand? Yeah. If you're getting that nagging feeling that the insurgents in Fallujah just went somewhere else, that's because they just went somewhere else. You know the expression, you can run, but you can't hide? Apparently, the insurgents can run, and they can hide. Pretty damn well, in fact. They know we don't have enough boots on the ground to chase them everywhere. It's like a game of musical chairs, except we just hope we're occupying the city when the gunfire momentarily stops. So we won Fallujah, big deal. In 2 weeks, it'll be Samarra. In 2 weeks after that, Fallujah again. Words that come to mind, ridiculous, repetitive, Vietnam. The bad news is we'll never control this country. The good news is neither will anybody else. So keep running. We'll catch up with you soon. See you in the Joff. So good luck and God bless. And by God, I mean our God. This is day 137 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Live Free or Die. See, Noah's sitting there, he's looking at me, and like, if you don't put the headphones on, you don't get the full effect.
You don't get the full flavor, Noah.
There's explosions and gunfire, and it makes it a bit funny, and you're looking at me like I was getting
crazy.
I was traumatized by the actual gunfire, I think.
Oh, okay. you're looking at me by, like you were. It was closing arguments for the other side. And you're like, I'm going to take this guy down. All right, our guest is an associate professor of law at New York University. Last year, he was the senior constitutional advisor to the Coalition Provisional Authority and worked with Iraqis in writing their constitution. His new book is What We Owe Iraq, War and the Ethics of Nation Building. He also wrote After Jihad, America and the Struggle for Islamic Democracy. Good morning.
Morning.
Can we talk about America for a minute first?
You betcha.
Now, the Constitution. Let's talk about the separation of church and state. Someone said to me, it's not even in the Constitution. Is it indeed in the Constitution?
Yeah, it's in the Constitution.
Good.
The Constitution says, guarantees your free exercise of religion, and it guarantees that Congress will make no law respecting an establishment of religion.
Okay.
And all the framers knew exactly what that meant.
Okay.
That meant your freedom of conscience would be protected, and the way to do that was to make sure there was no official state religion.
Can we assert that these people that are trying to amend the Constitution to appeal to their own moral retardation is some sort of fascist movement within our country?
Well, I don't actually think they're fascists. I think what we got on our hands is a problem associated with any democracy, which is that you got a lot of religious people out there, and they want the country to reflect their values, and their values are religious. The problem is the Constitution says that religious values can't be expressed through government, and that's why we got this problem on our hands.
Can't you just call them names like me? I'm trying to call them names. Okay, no, I agree.
I mean, I'm all for calling people names once in a while, but when you get people up to 35-40% of the country, it starts to be a bad idea to call them names.
Now you got me scared. Thanks.
What about Bob Jones? Can't we call him names?
You can call Bob Jones names.
Thank you.
So now we have this Cobb County issue where evolution is back in the schools, and it seems to be
Evolution, creationism.
Yes. That, right, creationism. The argument between evolution and creationism. They're trying to sort of
argument. They're trying to have it both ways.
Yeah.
Right. In fact, in Cobb County, for a long time, they were teaching creationism in the schools. Then they got wise. They said, okay, now we're going to put evolution in the schools the way we're supposed to, but we want to have a warning label. You know, as if this were, you know, M&M lyrics or something.
Yeah, yeah. This is bad for your head.
Yeah, exactly.
Lead to truth.
Right. So the way they put it was, this textbook has material on evolution. It's a theory, not a fact. Keep an open mind, study carefully, and consider critically. Now, it wouldn't be so bad if that said that on every textbook, but of course it doesn't. It only says that on the biology textbook on the evolution section.
Why don't we just reverse it and put it in on all of the Bibles that they have in church? In other words, this Bible teaches creationism. It's just a theory. It's not a fact. It should be critically assessed. You get lynched.
Well,
I think you would be.
Because that's their truth. Now, how does something like this play out in your understanding the nuances of this particular case?
It's kind of a clever one from the perspective of the warning sticker guys, because by saying consider critically, which after all we all believe you should consider everything critically,
sure.
They kind of cover themselves.
Right.
They make it really hard for the court to step in and say they're teaching creationism or they're banning evolution. If they ban evolution, that would be a clear violation of the Constitution. The Supreme Court said so 30 years ago. No one doubts it. But by saying think critically, they're kind of going to sneak in under the radar, and the ACLU is going to make a lot of noise about it. Which is kind of funny because the ACLU is in favor of free speech, but we'll leave that off to one side.
Right.
But the bottom line is they're probably not going to win. What we're going to see is another cultural fight where the people who are in favor of the stickers all know what they really mean, which is that they don't believe in evolution. And on the other side, people know that teaching evolution is basically what science has taught us on the subject.
So they're basically trying to play to the converted. They're sort of playing to the, what do you call it, choir, preaching to the
preaching
choir.
Preaching to the choir, but isn't it incremental, though?
Appealing to your base, that's what we call it nowadays.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right? But it seems to me like this is incremental. This is like the whole thing on partial birth abortion as being a backdoor way to eventually get to overturning Roe v. Wade. Isn't there an incremental nature to what they're trying to do here that maybe there'll be a next step after the stickers?
You bet. There's no reason not to think that. People might well move on to the next step saying, don't believe the evolution section. And the next step is a warning sticker that says, see this other book, or see this website,
see the Bible.
CreationScience.com.
And the next step is, order your uniform. See what I'm talking about? Do you see where I'm going with this, Noah? But how do they, I mean, what I'm understanding is like, what is the argument? It's like, you know, critical thinking. It's like, come on, we didn't evolve from monkeys, which we have evidence of. A man in the sky made us. What's critical of what?
Well, what's so clever about their view is that they're playing on the ambiguity of the word theory, right? If you and I say, well, I think the skins are going to win next week, but you say it's just a theory, we know that means that it's not a fact.
Right.
But in science, everything's a theory.
Right.
Gravitation is a theory, but it's a pretty darn well-supported theory, because go out the window, drop something, and you know it's going to fall.
If I were floating, then there'd be a gap. If you two were sitting and I was floating, you'd say, well, there's a problem with the theory of gravity,
because
that mind is not honoring the law.
So one of the things you hear a lot from the creation science people is that they say, well, evolution is a theory. Now, on one level, you can't argue with that. Of course it's a theory. On another level, they're missing the point.
Well, they're also missing the use of the word theory in science.
Exactly.
And they're using it to their advantage because some of these guys know better.
Oh, they all know perfectly well that when scientists say evolution is a theory, they don't mean that it's contestable at this stage.
So you think they're going to lose this case? Evolution loses this one?
I think evolution loses because all they've done is ask for a warning on critical thinking.
Yeah. Okay.
And as I say,
yeah, if I were the judge, I think I'd say put on all the textbooks.
Yeah, so right. When we come back, it's a very interesting thing that you were an advisor on the creating of the Iraqi Constitution, and I'm sure that a lot of our listeners are very curious of what you think is unfolding there and whether this Constitution will ever be implemented with any effect. And we're going to talk about that with Noah when we come back. It's 42 past the hour. It's Air America Radio.
Check out all our favorite links, our latest blog entries, and our new line of merchandise at morningsedition.com.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Celsin Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff, Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Selsun Blue. Selsun Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Selsun Blue. Uses directed.
The fans are cheering. The shows are freaking. And your TV is rocking. It's Fox Saturday Night. All your favorite shows back to back and end zone to end zone. In the first half, it's a new hour of Cops Grand Theft Auto.
Freeze, I'll put a hole in you.
In the second half, it's a special America's Most Wanted. And in overtime, it's the show that puts a Mad in TV. An all new Mad TV.
I love you, love time, Daddy.
The Fox Saturday Night lineup. Get into the game tomorrow starting at 8, 7 Central on Fox. Be there.
Planet Church.
Same tree sitter, author, and activist Julia Butterfly Hill talks about her latest project.
We the Planet is a festival of music, consciousness, and activism, highlighting the solutions to the problems facing our world.
With the festival, Hill's mission is to bring the grassroots to the mainstream.
These conscious ideas that some people perceive as radical or extreme or hippie, really helping them realize that this is a movement for everyone. So part of our tagline is sustainability is sexy and consciousness is cool.
A stellar musical lineup will grace the stage.
The Roots, The Cool, Michelle Shaw, Third Eye Blind, Mickey Hart, and Joan Baez.
We the Planet takes place on Saturday, November 13th in Oakland, California.
The website for our event where people can get more information is wetheplanet.org.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
M&M and rock and chatter, entertainment's all that matters. Moving easy, good vibration, soul review and ragged rhythm. Bluegrass, hip hop, jazz and metal, R&B, we push the pedal. Elvis, LQ, left the center, college football, Mexicana. Truck is talking, brewer, tackles, wise cop, battle, all the scandals. Ella Hughes and Billy Balls in traffic, first and weather's now on play-by-play. And James and Burns, it's B.R.I. and Howard Stern.
Life is a rock, not the
Hey, sports fans, when you tune into Sirius Sports Radio, you want to hear about football, you want to hear about baseball, you want to hear about sports. And there's something else you should hear about, how to get good tickets for the game. When it comes to tickets for sporting events, you've got to check out StubHub.com. Started by two season ticket holders, StubHub.com is the number one site for sports, concerts, and theater tickets nationwide. Since StubHub tickets come directly from season ticket holders, you're getting access to the best seats. We're talking front row, behind home plate, on the 50, you name it. StubHub.com. Got it. So, you want tickets for an exciting sporting event or sold-out show? No problem. Just go to StubHub.com, find the seats you want, and your tickets will be delivered fast via FedEx. When you use StubHub.com, you'll always get the tickets you want in time for the game, 100% guaranteed. All right, here's the recap. Can't use your tickets? Sell them on StubHub.com. Want tickets? Go to StubHub.com. That's StubHub. Visit StubHub.com today or call 1-866-STUBHUB.
StubHub!
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the great schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Here's a little
Stooges for your art. How about that?
Good morning. Oh, is this MC5? And it's my CD, and I'll be like,
uh-oh.
I feel stupid now. See, MC5. Stooges, MC5. One came before the other. They're, you know, absolutely symbiotic. They had to, one had to happen, and all right, I screwed up. What can I just say? Oh, look at that. There is the opening bell, and it means it's time for the Morning Sedition Friday Business Report. Good news for business-savvy entrepreneurs and pretty much anybody interested in profiting off people's misery. The Department of Justice has just subpoenaed pharmaceutical giant Merck and Company for information relating to its popular arthritis drug, Vioxx. You see, 80 million people who took Vioxx not only received fast pain relief, but also an eightfold increase in the chance their hearts might explode. In fact, it's probably caused over 28,000 heart attacks already. Thanks to George W. Bush's policy of compassionate conservatism, the FDA compassionately ignored over 3 years of clinical trials, proving Vioxx was dangerous, and let Merck put it on the market. Now, 28,000 heart attacks later, American businesses are reaping the rewards. If you have stock in any company that makes oxygen nose tubes, defibrillators, rib splitters, or nitroglycerin tablets, you know what I'm talking about. And the list goes on. I mean, half these people aren't dead yet, but they will be soon. Mortuaries, cemeteries, coffins, cryogenic freezing cylinders. The opportunities for investment are unlimited, my friends. And hey, don't worry if you got Merck stock. Not even 375 lawsuits can put a dent in the yearly profit of $2.5 billion. So go forth and multiply your money, investors. The future is yours, unless, of course, you took Vioxx. Then the future is pretty short, and you should probably hire a lawyer and get one of those freezing cylinders. This has been Morning Sedition's Friday Business Report. Good morning.
Now, we have Noah Feldman here. He's a lawyer.
He is a lawyer.
Have you ever thought about representing Vioxx victims? Because I see him on TV. Johnny Cochran's on there talking about if you've been a victim of Vioxx.
I get the feeling that Mark is pretty well covered right around now.
Oh.
Question is, what's going to be left at the end of Merck? You know, I mean, this could be one of those situations where the whole company comes down.
Really?
Oh, I mean, it's a big company. There's a lot of profit, but history suggests that in these situations, if you're the company, you get very, very nervous.
Ah, but you know what? If George Bush had his way and tort reform was in place, then they couldn't break this company, could they?
I think that's probably right. I think that this is going to be a test case for the whole tort reform argument, and one side's going to say, well, you break up the company, then you're going to get rid of all the other good drugs, and you're going to cost people jobs, you're going to cost the taxpayers and the shareholders money. The other side's going to say, yeah, but what about the dead people?
Right, yeah, yeah. Hey, what's 28,000 people? When, you know, look at how many factories we have.
Did they have this kind of back and forth and debate over heroin?
No. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, there's the whole thing, well, the drug is, I mean, you know,
heroin suffered from the fact that no big company got right behind it in the front.
The
place where heroin is really central to our foreign policy, you know, is Afghanistan.
Because
under the Taliban, heroin production went down to zero.
Now we've restored it.
We've restored the Afghans their rightful place as the world leaders in the heroin market. $2.5 billion, 95% of the European heroin market.
Around the world are happy.
Wow.
It's just like George Sr. When George Sr. was in office, you know, Afghanistan was pumping out a lot of dope. Well, and now George Jr. is now pumping out a lot of dope.
And you know, it's a lot better for the ordinary Afghan farmer. He had no cash crop.
Wow.
This is huge. But I guess the real fear is, where's that money going outside of, you know, funneling its way into the black market in the United States, into the people that are protecting it, you know, ex-CIA operatives, what have you. Anyways.
Hamid Karzai's clothes. That's where the money is.
I don't know.
Hey, that man looks good.
I know he does. That's what I mean.
That's a smart cape. Nice hat. Iraq, the Constitution, implementing it. Ever going to happen, sir?
Well, no chance unless we actually get some basic security on the ground. You know, people say law and order, but that's the backwards order. Yeah. First, you got to have order, then you can have law. And right now, we've got a great constitution, and the only provision that's really been invoked is the national emergency law provision.
Oh, tell us a little bit about that constitution. It's a parliamentary constitution. How does it work?
Well, it does have space for parliament, but right now, in this transitional period, almost all the power lies with the prime minister, Iyad Alawi, because there were no opportunity for elections, so you couldn't elect the legislature, so the legislature couldn't become a major player. It's just kind of an appointed consultative body. But that's supposed to end as soon as there are elections, and you can have a new constitution drafted and written.
Who did you work with? Was it exciting? Did you feel like founding fathers? Did you pose for pictures?
No pictures, but it was pretty exciting. And the Iraqis who were involved definitely felt like the founding fathers of a new nation, in part because when they were working on it, although the security situation was not great, it was nowhere near where it is now. Now those same folks are panicked.
Right.
They're saying, you know, some of them were from outside the country. They were exiled. They come back. They're saying, we came back and now we're, you know, hiding
targets.
Out. Now we're targets. Yeah, and they're devastated. Ordinary Iraqis had so much hope right after the war, and now they just feel, at first they thought the U.S. you know, this is a conspiracy. If you guys can't get the electricity going, you guys can't get the water going, you must be out to get us. Now they just realize we're incompetent.
Right. So what are the chances of someone stepping in and, like, crumpling the Constitution up and just writing on a piece of paper, "Me, King," and putting it up on the wall?
There's a fair number of people who might like to try it, but yeah. The problem is no one can realistically do that because the country has broken into so many different factions.
Right.
Right now, the only way out of this story is to get the factions, all the different groups at the table, get them to negotiate a power-sharing arrangement, and that will be their constitution. It'll be a power-sharing arrangement between them. But the Sunnis in the Sunni Triangle are not going to do that unless they think they got more to gain by coming into the constitution than they do by opting out. And the real problem, I think, is, look, no one asked us to invade. And there are 27 million real-life people who live in that country. And right now, their situation stinks.
Yeah.
And it stinks because we, as you said, we don't have enough boots on the ground. We do not have enough people to occupy the country.
So how many do we need?
I think we need at least another 100,000 troops right now.
Almost double the strength.
Almost double the strength. And people knew that at the beginning, and when General Shinseki said that, you know,
they got rid of him.
They got rid of him. It was not a secret. This is not like nobody knew that we needed this.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about does the Constitution in any way present an Islamist theocracy? Because like George Bush, he prevented. That's what I said. Because George Bush, I'm sorry, you know, I got my producer like, you know, freaking out. He's like, okay, he's my puppet. Let me tell him what to say. Oh, no, he didn't say it right. The thing about George Bush, he dismissed it. He's saying, well, that might happen.
We're not going to have a theocracy,
right?
Because the Constitution guarantees freedom of religion. It guarantees equality for men and women. In fact, it sets aside 25% of the seats in the legislature for women,
right,
which is more than we've got in our country, frankly, right. You know, almost 100 years after women started voting. So those guarantees are there. On the other hand, Islam is the official religion of the state, and Islam is stated in this Constitution to be a source of law.
Yeah.
And it's definitely going to matter tremendously in people's lives, and no law can contradict the universally agreed on principles of Islam,
right,
whatever those are, or the principles of democracy. So this Constitution is democratic, and it's Islamic.
Mm.
Now, I've been reading some materials lately that say that the most reliable Iraqi troops on the ground, Iraqi troops, not American troops, are the Kurds. Specifically, I think it was the 36th Battalion, which is made up largely of Kurds. I assume they're not doing this out of the goodness of their hearts. What do they want, and how will that implement the Constitution?
Well, first of all,
impact the Constitution.
You're totally right. The Kurds are the only ones getting military training. They've got somewhere like 55 or 60,000 men-at-arms who are basically light infantry who know what they're doing. And that's absolutely right. What the Kurds want, ordinary Kurds, is that they want their own country.
That's what I thought.
What their leaders are willing to settle for is autonomy. You know, strong states' rights. They basically run the show in the northern part of the country, where they've been running the show for the last decade. And they'll agree to participate in the general national defense and to share the oil revenues around the country in exchange for being able to run their own show. They speak their own languages. They got their own area of the country. They got their own lifestyle. They want autonomy. But their leaders know they can't declare independence because it's a rough neighborhood.
Now, the Turks will go for the autonomous thing?
The Turks aren't crazy about it, but bottom line, the Turks don't have much choice because the Turks aren't willing to go in and try to shut it down because they don't want to be in a situation in Iraq that we're in. And we're not going to shut it down. So the bottom line is that the Kurds will get their autonomy because there's no one strong enough to take it away from them.
All right, we got a couple minutes with Noah Feldman left. What about, let's shift gears, Alberto Gonzalez, disaster or good? Obviously not good, but is he going to continue to chip away at civil liberties?
I got to tell you, I don't think that's the big story about Alberto Gonzalez. The big story is that he's not going on to the Supreme Court now.
Yes.
Newspapers try to spin this as, oh, well, you know, this might lead to going on the court. No way.
No.
This is a victory for the faction within the administration,
right,
that set out to avoid Gonzalez getting on the court because they were afraid he was too squishy. This is a huge win for them. When I saw this, I said, this means that we're going to get either Michael Luttig, we're almost certainly going to get Michael Luttig nominated to be the Chief Justice. This was a way of getting Gonzalez out of the way.
Were they afraid he was going to be another David Souter?
Of course they were. They were afraid that you know, Gonzalez is how you say Souter in Spanish. That's what they kept on saying. And they were completely terrified about it. So by making him the Attorney General, they clear the way for the serious right-winger to make his way into the Chief Justice seat.
Oh, God help.
That's the big story here.
Man, I wish it, like, in my mind worked like this chess game. You know what I mean? Because, you know, people...
Then you'd be a member of the Federalist Society.
It's, like, amazing to me. Like, I'm just sitting here, like, you know, in my little reactionary head, responding to actions that are taken. And then there's always, like, a million moves that, you know, like someone like you is sensitive
to. There's another story going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And him as a person. Now, tell me about this guy that's going to now be Chief Justice in your eyes.
Well, I think that what you've got is a group of judges who firmly and sincerely believe that the Constitution today means what the Constitution meant 200 years ago.
Yeah.
That it hasn't changed. And I don't doubt their sincerity, and I don't doubt their honesty, because they come right out and say that that's what they believe. But a lot of us think the Constitution does not mean the exact same word-for-word thing that it meant when blacks were three-fifths of a person and, when women couldn't vote. We think that the Constitution has changed as the country has changed.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, in that kind of a world, we got to move forward. We got to move forward. Our Constitution is not a suicide pact. It's designed to let us live.
Okay. Well, look, Noah Feldman, the book is What We Owe Iraq, War and the Ethics of Nation Building. It's available at morningsedition.com if you want to get that at a discount. And also After Jihad, America and the Struggle for Islamic Democracy, which I'm sure is available there, too. We want to talk to you again. Can we come to you with legal problems whenever we have them?
You betcha. That'd be class.
In terms of the world and the United States?
You got it.
And if you get busted for obscenity, could you maybe visit him, bail him out?
Hey, dude, why don't you off, right?
You guys are just making business for us.
What do we got?
What do we got in the next hour?
Coming up in the next hour of Morning Sedition, we have got someone who's going to talk to us a little bit about journalism and the myth of a free press, because she's the editor of Into the Buzzsaw, leading journalists expose the myth of a free press. Christina Borgeson joins us when Morning Sedition continues here on Air
America. Pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Ben.
I am the Edison photograph. Delightful,
you
would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh, it's on.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. Thousands turn out in Ramallah to meet the remains of PLO leader Yasser Arafat. Security forces plowed their way through the massive gathering to remove Arafat's coffin from one of three helicopters that landed near Arafat's compound in Ramallah. Earlier today, funeral services for the PLO leader were held in Cairo, where some 60 dignitaries and heads of state were in attendance. Comments on Arafat's legacy coming in from around the globe. UN Secretary Kofi Annan spoke with reporters about Mr. Arafat's importance to Palestinian aspirations.
Creationists ultimately would like to get evolution just thrown out of the whole curriculum, and this is their way of kind of sneaking in the back door to start that, and that's what I'm afraid of. That, you know, they put the stickers in just to appease the creationists, but to me, when it says it's not a fact, that goes beyond appeasing.
Khalid Masal, the leader of Hamas, made a rare public appearance today, attending funeral services in Egypt for Yasser Arafat. Yesterday, Masal accused Israel of poisoning the Palestinian leader, a claim Israel denies. He has recently kept a low profile since Israeli officials renewed threats to target Palestinian militant leaders. A Hamas spokesman says Hamas figure will soon talk to new Palestinian leaders over how to run Gaza after a planned Israeli withdrawal. Backed by airstrikes from F-A-18s and AC-130 gunships, U.S. forces are pushing back insurgents in Fallujah. One U.S. Army colonel says troops are allowing only women, children, and elderly to leave. According to the colonel, keeping men aged 15 to 55 from leaving is the key to the mission's success. Says the officer, if they're not carrying a weapon, you can't tell between insurgents and militants and civilians. A fight at a Jerusalem holy site today. Hundreds of Palestinian youths scuffled with Israeli police, the police barring them from prayers, afraid of riots and unrest during Yasser Arafat's funeral. The angry worshippers, some of them crying, put together a makeshift prayer service on the street. Police now on the highest state of alert, with all leaves of canceled amid worries that the prayers for the last Friday of holy month of Ramadan, together with mourning for Arafat, would get out of control. Arafat buried in about an hour or so at his West Bank headquarters in the city of Ramallah. President Bush and Britain's Tony Blair close out 2 days of talks at the White House today. A joint news conference is planned after this morning's Oval Office talks. Bush and Blair spend time on the prospects for the Mideast peace after Yasser Arafat's passing. Bush has called the Palestinian leader's passing an opening, and Blair says creating a peaceful Palestinian state must be the international community's highest priority. The meetings came as U.S. and Iraqi forces try to smash rebel holdouts in the insurgent stronghold of Fallujah. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
With a global team of 4,000 news gathering professionals, CNN is the world leader in news and information. And now, on Sirius. Join Paula Zahn, Anderson Cooper, Larry King, Lou Dobbs, Aaron Brown, and a host of other top news anchors and pros. Get inside the top stories and events of the day, plus business, sports, health, and entertainment. It's your news, your way. 24 hours a day. Sirius. CNN 104.
This is Earth and Sky. Despite over a decade of conservation, spotted owls are still in decline, and scientists aren't sure why.
Scientists study spotted owls primarily in the Pacific Northwest and California. Each area of study can consist of hundreds of thousands of acres and contain fewer than 100 pairs of spotted owls. The fact that the owls are nocturnal makes them even harder to find.
Rocky Gutierrez is chair of the Department of Fisheries and Wildlife at the University of Minnesota in St. Paul. He studied spotted owls and their habitats for nearly 25 years.
The sum total of these study areas and the number of birds that have been individually banded so that we can identify individuals probably represents the largest single study of population dynamics of an endangered species ever conducted in the world. So it's a monumental effort. And despite this great amount of effort, we still have uncertainty about some of the populations and what their status is.
Dr. Gutierrez thinks that a combination of hostile weather, a recent invasion of barred owls, and past habitat loss might be why spotted owls are declining. More about owls next time.
Thanks today to the U.S. Forest Service and to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this,
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out.
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Blah, 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 blah.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, festering progressives, ineffectual intellectuals, people who live in a world of their own, liberal bullies, all of yous, people in the red states who are actually blue, how are you? Good morning to you, Mark Riley.
I'm
Dr. Seuss.
You're Dr. Seuss. I'm blue.
Are you blue? Woo! I'm going crazy.
Hey.
I'm going nuts.
Well, the room is blue.
I'm turning my headphones off.
You can't do that. Doesn't work.
I'm turning them off.
Sorry, they'll never turn off.
It's weird because we wear these headphones, and just in case we get lost in our stuff, it's so our producer can go, Dude, we got a commercial.
Yeah,
yo,
right. Stop what you're doing.
And then sometimes I'm in the middle of a question and I say a word that didn't happen right. He's like, you just said Jesus is on a horse and you meant to say Jesus is on a cross. I'm like, interrupts my train of thought.
No, I mean, you gotta get the Jesus stuff straight, you know.
I know.
I'm getting used to all this. I'm getting used to it. You know, it's nice to hear my own voice in my head.
Oh, by the way, before we go any further.
Where are we going?
So that we cover everything.
Yeah.
They buried Yasser Arafat. No, no, actually they had the service. They, as they say uptown, funeralized Yasser Arafat.
They funeralized him in Egypt because
a lot of the
Arab cats did not want to go to Israel.
You know, I looked at that list. We got a list yesterday of who was going.
Mm-hmm.
And what did the U.S. send? A deputy, double secret probation, assistant secretary of state or something?
A guy.
Colin Powell's valet?
They sent an intern. Oh, no.
Oh, here we go. Off the deep end again. No, well, he didn't go. Rice didn't go. Now, South Africa, Thabo Mbeki, the president of the country, went.
Mm-hmm.
In Brazil, Lula da Silva, the president of the country, went.
Yeah.
Tony Blair, Prime Minister of Great Britain, having lunch with Bush today.
Yeah.
So how come he didn't go?
Yeah, I, you know, especially since he's paying lip service to the idea that he's going to reinvigorate the peace process.
Well, you know what? I think they sent that guy Jack Straw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever Blair's busy doing something else, they sent him.
From the nursery rhyme?
No, that was Jack Spratt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, no, but
was Jack Spratt at Arafat's funeral? Because that would rhyme.
Jack Spratt at Arafat. No, it was Jack Straw.
Okay.
But no, Straw, you know, when Tony Blair had his last baby or whatever, Straw takes care of business when in Blair's absence, I guess. But, you know, you kind of look and see who went and who didn't go.
Yeah.
And who sent some. I mean, Hosni Mubarak was there.
Yeah.
Which is nice because it happened in his country.
Yeah,
but now they're going to bury him in Ramallah.
Yeah, you guys do whatever you want. I'll have some guys clear the area.
Yeah, I'll come by, make a special guest appearance, tap a few elbows, and then I'll be on my way.
I think we're getting punchy. That's weird because it's so early in the morning. But, you know, because of our hours, I'm starting to get a little, like, giddy and weird and worried about what I'm going to say.
Don't worry about that.
No,
by the way, what? Do you have the soundtrack for Saving Private Ryan? Because I do.
It's good, right?
It's a wonderful CD.
All I know is that the first 20 minutes of that movie, like, literally, I thought I was hit.
Yeah.
I was, like, checking my body for injuries. Before we get into that, to religious fanatics trying to determine what we as a culture will see and believe, I want to say that you're on TV tonight.
Yes, I am.
You're going to be on New York One's Inside City Hall.
Yes.
You want to see what Mark Reilly looks like, and you don't want to base your interpretation on the cartoon representation.
Which makes me look fat!
Of Mark Reilly at MorningsEdition.com. See, that's funny. See how self-conscious we are about weight? When did men start doing that? I know I've been doing it since I was a little kid.
Me too, since I got fat.
No. I was never fat. My mother put that in my head.
Really?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. My mother! Here's how you ruin a guy's self-image for the rest of his life. You're at the Macy's or wherever.
Okay.
The Dillard's, wherever you live, whatever. The department store with your mom, who is rail thin and, you know, stunning and always looking stunning. And she's dragging you into the store, and you go to the little boys section, and she goes, "Where's the Huskies? I think my son needs Huskies, because look at him. Look at the little fat man. I don't know how it happened." She didn't say that, but I heard it.
Wow.
I heard it. My mother's probably at Pilates or running or at aerobics.
Really?
Or running. Or
you better
Pilates,
hope she's not listening.
Or aerobics or running. Or trying to sell a house or at Pilates. Hey, I will be at Boston Comedy Club down on 3rd Street this weekend trying to work on some new stuff, doing some improvisational comedy. Not improv, but I'm trying to build some bits about my life, and if you want to come down and watch me do that off of the radio, you're more than welcome. I will also be at the Improv, which is up on it's up in the 40s.
Just go to improv.com or Google Improv.
New York Improv. You can go to morningsedition.com and see and, come hang out.
This is a busy weekend for you, though, Maron. I can't remember the last time you did two gigs like this in the same weekend.
I'm starting to run around because I'm going out to Seattle at the beginning of December to do giggles out there, and I want to tape a CD out there, and I got to keep my chops up. It's one thing to sit and talk on the radio. You know, you talk for 3 hours. That's different than trying to sort of manufacture your, 45 minutes of tight stand-up, talking and stand-up are two different things. Maybe I should start writing more bits.
No, stand-up is kind of like rudimental drumming, which is something I know a little bit about.
Well, what people don't understand about it is, you hone your bits.
Yeah.
You know, you hone
your drumming skills. You got to keep your skills up. If you don't, your muscles atrophy. You can't play anymore.
Talking to you, and talking to Kayla when he's listening and not reading something. And Clutch Larson used to listen a lot more and laugh and give me a lot of support.
No, he's busy. He's doing other things.
Yeah, he's sort of like, so this audience is what it is. It's a good audience. But, if I really, like, back in the day when we were new and fresh and people were worried about my sanity and they used to laugh at a lot of stuff in the booth and everybody would get excited. Now, you know, John's in there, you know, probably filling out a, you know, writing a resume. And, yeah.
What is this? The election's over? I'm out? Is that what you're trying to
say? I actually asked him to go through the email to see if we could read something from the peoples, because I don't do that on the air anymore. I no longer read the blog or the email while I'm working, because we're working.
Okay, yeah, we are working. We're keeping busy.
And also, what I wanted to say is we do need an intern, if anyone's interested in that. You are in the New York City area, and you're willing to get up at 4 in the morning. We'll cut you some slack on that.
A little bit.
If you want to come in at 7 and work the day with us. And you know what? There's a lot to learn here. You know, you
like
will,
what?
Well, you'll learn the temperamental personality of a on-air personality, the temperamental disposition of an on-air personality while he's not on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
That's always good.
And they might even give you some chicken wings from Aiello's, and that is a real treat.
Oh, they'll definitely be going to Aiello's. And Dan Tashman will be happy to teach you how to go to Gigi's
across the street. That's right. And you'll learn the difference between a Kalo and a Riley.
Yeah. Because, like, the bane of Tashman's existence is, like, he at one point in time offered to help us out. Because we were like, because obviously the station can't provide us with a coffee machine.
Oh, no, there's a coffee machine here. It's just the coffee sucks.
Exactly.
I mean, there is one machine.
You know,
it's like totally automated. All you have to do is press a button and everything.
So the one regret, Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, New Jersey. Sorry, Linda. I know that it's getting old, but I'm proud of your son. Maybe you're not. All right. But I happen to want to talk about Dan Pashman and where he is and who he and where he comes from. Mm-hmm. Okay. One day he said, "All right, I guess I can go to the store." Man. Dan,
that was it.
Dan, was that the biggest mistake of your life? Tell me. Oh, he's coming in.
Here he comes.
He's coming in with the he's coming in with the necklace he made at camp.
I wore this. I made this necklace while I was wearing husky pants.
Backslap.
Do you regret that day, Dan Pashman? Yeah, I guess I can go down to the store.
Yeah. Well, you know what the worst thing about it, or worst or best thing about it is that now my clock has readjusted, so now I crave my coffee.
Yeah,
you guys are crazy.
There you go.
We're all on the same page.
So you know, but I do draw the line at cooked food. I can't sit there at the grill.
We'll not wait for the cooked foods.
I can't wait for them to start, you know, flambeing.
It's not a patience thing. He just can't stand and watch people cook something the way he wouldn't.
Wouldn't do it.
It's just
oh,
you're not going to do that with the bread. Dude.
You call that a reverse, double backwards, scrambled egg flip?
No.
What are you thinking?
You need to read the Pashman book on how to cook
things. Research on this issue. And,
Dan, no matter what comes out of Dan's mouth, it could be the most minor thing. Mm. Like, it sounds like he'd worked on it for a few weeks.
You should have heard his conversation with his super, Compton.
Oh, that was good.
That was classic. I wish he had had a tape for that.
Come on, Dan.
Give us a couple of lines from your conversation.
You've been here six times.
I've been here six times over the last 3 weeks, and it's getting worse. You don't run a snake through the pipe. You've already run a snake through the pipe. It's not getting any better.
And I thought it was going to culminate in, we need a new building.
I demand
a new building.
Right. But, we have an advertiser that builds new buildings.
The ironic and sad thing is, this morning, guess what happened to me?
What?
I'm standing in a foot of water, taking a shower.
It's contagious.
What did you do, man?
I don't know. I don't have that much hair to drop down the drain. Look at me.
I know. Where's my change? 50 bucks the hour. Air America Radio. We'll be back.
Morning Sedition. Delivering you from evil in 3 hours or less on Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Doug Dupuy for SelectQuote, and I just called
Cheryl Payne,
one of SelectQuote's licensed agents.
Hi, Mr. Dupuy.
Hi, Cheryl. Why buy term life insurance through SelectQuote instead of somebody else?
Well, Mr. Dupuy, about 2 out of 3 people have health or lifestyle issues. Could be high blood pressure, skydiving. Now, depending on what insurance company you choose, you could overpay hundreds of dollars a year.
Well, where does SelectQuote come in?
SelectQuote's a real matchmaker. We impartially shop the pick of America's top life insurers to match you with your best buy.
Got an example?
Sure. I just matched a man 40 years old who takes cholesterol medication with a $500,000 policy for under $22 a month.
Quite a match, Cheryl. Why not let SelectQuote match you with your best buy? Just call 1-800-772-8300. That's 1-800-772-8300. Or log on to SelectQuote.com.
Example is First Colony Preferred Best Colony 10-year term policy form 1420 and 1421 et al. Underwritten by First Colony Life Insurance Company, a GE Financial Assurance Company, Lynchburg, Virginia. Policy subject to underwriting approval, available in most states.
Lose 30 pounds in 30 days? Or how about eat whatever you want and still lose weight? Look, you and I both know that is not going to happen. I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and I'd probably be the first to sign up for that magic pill that makes diet and exercise irrelevant. But until that day, I'm content to be one of 100,000 plus folks who haven't just ordered Cortislim once. They've ordered Cortislim again. So many people have found that Cortislim is part of an absolutely brilliant lifestyle of managing daily stress. Why? Because stress leads to problems, like gaining weight. We believe that good health involves diet, exercise, supplementation, and Cortislim. And I want you to have Dr. Talbot's Total Sense program free with your order. Look, the holidays are here, and stress and overeating is a problem. This is your chance to step off that scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. Call 1-800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN.
For the global team of 4,000 news gathering professionals, CNN is the world leader in news and information. And now, on Sirius, join Paula Zahn, Anderson Cooper, Larry King, Lou Dobbs, Aaron Brown, and a host of other top news anchors and pros. Get inside the top stories and events of the day, plus business, sports, health, and entertainment. It's your news, your way. 24 hours a day. Sirius, CNN 104.
Hey, sports fans, when you tune into Sirius Sports Radio, you want to hear about football, you want to hear about baseball, you want to hear about sports. And there's something else you should hear about, how to get good tickets for the game. When it comes to tickets for sporting events, you got to check out StubHub.com. Started by two season ticket holders, StubHub.com is the number one site for sports, concerts, and theater tickets nationwide. Since StubHub tickets come directly from season ticket holders, you're getting access to the best seats. We're talking front row, behind home plate, on the 50, you name it. StubHub.com's got it. So, you want tickets for an exciting sporting event or sold-out show? No problem. Just go to StubHub.com, find the seats you want, and your tickets will be delivered fast via FedEx. When you use StubHub.com, you'll always get the tickets you want in time for the game, 100% guaranteed. All right, here's the recap. Can't use your tickets? Sell them on StubHub.com. Want tickets? Go to StubHub.com. That's S-T-U-B-H-U-B. Visit StubHub.com today or call 1-866-STUBHUB.
StubHub!
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
Past the hour. Did you know that? It's 21 past the hour here on Morning Tradition on Air America Radio.
I know now.
Ramon, who wanted to be called Rahmed this morning, he came in wearing a tafia, delivered us Yasser Arafat's final Palm Pilot, believe it or not.
Ooh.
7 a.m. wake up, ask a system which direction Mecca is in. Make a point to finally memorize that. 7:05 a.m., facing Mecca, touch head to ground. 7:06 to 8:30 a.m., have assistants unbend me. 10 a.m., call Ariel Sharon, leave message on his machine, making fun of his girly name. God, that never gets old. 1 p.m., time to face Mecca. Ask for direction again. Really should put up a post-it. 2 p.m., dust off Nobel Peace Prize. 2:05 p.m., send 12-year-old strapped with explosives into Israeli pizzeria. Note, send out for a mushroom calzone.
5 p.m., create a lasting peace with Israel. On second thought, nah. 7 p.m., face Mecca. Find out who moved my post-it note. 9 p.m. bedtime, make note to return this damn tablecloth on my head to the Olive Garden. It says, in parentheses, on a Palm Pilot.
Rim shot.
All right. Look, we're going to talk. Let's take this quick call. This sounds like something we need to know. Tom in New Jersey, listening to WLIB. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Mark and Mark.
What's up?
You know, I hear you talk about Dan Pashman, the son of Lewis, and Linda Pashman all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought you ought to know that he's also the grandson of Morris Pashman.
Okay.
Who is a great, who was a great, unabashedly liberal justice of the New Jersey Supreme Court.
Really?
Yep.
Did Lewis or Linda call you to call us? Because I feel this feels like an inside job to me, Tom.
It's not.
Okay, well, we will add that to the myth of Dan Pashman, and it is good to know that. Now, of course, Dan's going to have to come in and talk about it.
He's busy,
but this is important.
Thank you very much, Tom. Yeah,
I didn't know.
I don't think he ever mentioned it to us.
A justice of the New Jersey Supreme Court.
Look at him. He's just in there doing the news like we don't know anything about it. He's not even looking at us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yahtzee.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into this for a minute, and then we'll take another call. The group, see, this is how these Christian right groups make you feel like, you know, they're outnumbering us, and there are millions and billions and trillions of them that are just steamrolling the culture. There's a group called 1MillionMoms.com and then another one called 1MillionDads.com. A pair of, there's two, yes.
They stole it from Minister Farrakhan.
Right. But by doing that, by having two separate websites, they're like, oh my God, there's millions.
They're everywhere. Yeah.
They are affiliated with the American Family Association, which is run by the Reverend Donald Wildman, who some of you know.
Yeah.
He's been around for a while. They filed complaints with the FCC against ABC stations for airing Saving Private Ryan with all of the in it.
And that's because Steven Spielberg, the filmmaker, has a contract with ABC that says that when ABC runs it, it cannot be edited.
Right. And it's like, grow up. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, first of all, I think this is part of a broader conspiracy on behalf of their inability to look at war and the realities of war. Granted, Private Ryan is a movie. All right, but it seems a little suspect that this is the same, you know, they are affiliated with the same administration that refuses to show Coffins
from,
or real war on TV. This might be a stretch, but just, you know, the bottom line is like, you cannot shut out, you know, reality. Why can't people just say, you know what, here's what you do. Instead of putting a million people together and say, guess what, me and my million friends say this is wrong. How about, you know what, we're not going to watch that.
Yeah.
You know what, turn
the
channel.
Keep the television off that night. And look, if you're worried about your kids hearing this language, and if you've been living under a rock and don't know the languages in the film, I would think someone would run a disclaimer, as they do on many different television programs after each and every commercial break, that says, this contains bad language.
They are, I think. They are doing that.
Yeah, so, I mean, what? What?
Because they got to talk for everyone else, Riley. They've got to make sure everyone is just like them, or else they're not comfortable in the world.
I know whose fault this is.
Whose?
Michael Blinken Powell. This is him. This is all, you know what, the whole notion that after the, Janet Jackson started all of this. That's the insane part. Everybody is reacting to the idea that the FCC has now decided to get tough on indecency by finding people. They find, what, $550,000 for each CBS affiliate that you know, showed Janet Jackson's exposed breast. And now they're worried about, you know, bad language in an Academy Award-winning film. When is this going
to
end?
They don't care. They want everything to be Davy and Goliath reruns. It's ridiculous. I don't know, Davy. Look, what did we learn? You know, I mean, and then there's this other one. This one kills me. In response to the Kinsey movie, which is opening tonight, about Alfred Kinsey and the first real book on American sexual behavior, the Kinsey Report, they're already protesting this one. This is a girl named Brandy Swindell, a woman, I'm sorry.
Brandy.
But it's hard to, you know, call a woman, you know, Brandy. Unless she's a stripper. But Brandy Swindell, head of a college-oriented group called Generation Life. There's another group GenerationLife, 1MillionMoms.com, 1MillionDads.com, American Family Values Institute. They make it sound like they're just like they're running the entire culture, that there's different wings to this.
Is this like the Scouts and the 4-H or something?
There is, though. There is different wings. She said, Alfred Kinsey is responsible in part for my generation being forced to deal face-to-face with the devastating consequences of sexually transmitted diseases, pornography, and abortion. You're a child. You're just a baby. What are you so afraid of? You know that when you try to institute this much repression, you know what's going to happen? It's going to blow out of your ass. You know, it's going to make you do the weirdest things. You're going to crumble under it. All this repression, all these people, not all of them, but a lot of them, they probably look at the really dark, creepy porn.
You think Brandy's going to go out and, you know, like go on a 5-day jag?
No, Brandy's going to marry a man that's going to screw around on her.
Oh.
That's
so she'll be on Jerry Springer eventually.
Yeah, if she gets really fat. But only then.
You know, this is written. Now, even CBS is getting into the act with all of this foolishness. Now they are apologizing to viewers for interrupting the last 5 minutes of CSI New York.
That's a little different, though.
With a report on the death of Yasser Arafat. I mean, Yasser Arafat dying, last I checked, is news, maybe, a little. Something people ought to pay attention to?
But that's one guy who said, not on my network, probably. I don't know. What is it?
I don't understand. I mean, this isn't like the Heidi game or something. I mean, that's different. That was football versus, you know, a kiddie show.
Yeah.
This is, you know, a news item about the death of a... I don't know.
We got Christina Borgeson coming up, and she is the title, editor of Into the Budsaw, Leading Journalists Exposed to Myth of Free Press.
Think she can explain all this to us?
Maybe.
Let's hope so. Because we'll be back here on Air America Radio.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows, and my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't doing enough. I still had flakes, and my scalp felt dry and itchy. So I switched to Selsun Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers.
Doctor-recommended Selsun Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff, plus it keeps hair and scalp healthy and itch-free.
If your dandruff shampoo can't handle black, do what I did. Switch to Selsun Blue Moisturizing Shampoo.
Never wear black without the blue. Selsun Blue. Use as directed.
The fans are cheering. The shows are freaking. And your TV is rocking. It's Fox Saturday Night. All your favorite shows back to back and end zone to end zone. In the first half, it's a new hour of Cops Grand Theft Auto.
Freeze, I'll put a hole in you.
In the second half, it's a special America's Most Wanted. And in overtime, it's the show that put the mad in TV. An all-new Mad TV.
I love you, long time, Daddy.
Fox Saturday Night lineup. Get into the game tomorrow starting at 8, 7 Central on Fox. Be there.
With a global team of 4,000 news-gathering professionals, CNN is the world leader in news and information. And now, on Sirius, join Paula Zahn, Anderson Cooper, Larry King, Lou Dobbs, Aaron Brown, and a host of other top news anchors and pros. Get inside the top stories and events of the day, plus business, sports, health, and entertainment. It's your news, your way. 24 hours a day. Sirius, CNN 104.
All your important files are on your office PC. What do you do when you want to work from home or access a file while traveling? You copy files to disk, email documents home, or sync up your laptop. What a hassle. Now, there's a perfect solution for working from anywhere at any time. With GoToMyPC.com, you can always have complete access to everything on your office PC from any other internet-connected computer. It's easy to use and highly secure. You simply log into GoToMyPC.com and your office PC appears just as if you were at your desk. Work with all your programs and files. Check emails and access your network. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the radio listener button and enter promo code SIRIUS. Go to My PC is incredibly easy to use. Setup is completely automatic and it takes less than 2 minutes. That's go to mypc.com. Radio listener button, promo code SIRIUS. Try go to mypc.com now. Free for 45 days.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Beth wants to know if cashing out her mutual funds to pay off her home is a good idea. My advice to her after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Beth wants to know if she should cash out some mutual funds.
We're considering selling some mutual funds to downpay our mortgage, and we're wondering if that would make sense.
Are they inside of a retirement account?
No. No, we have...
How much are the mutual funds worth?
$200,000.
And how much is your mortgage?
$95,000.
Let's pretend your home is paid for and that you only had $100,000 in mutual funds. Would you go borrow $95,000 on your home to put more in mutual funds?
No, I would just think take all the money that I would be paying on my mortgage toward investing.
That's a great answer. It also tells us that you ought to cash out your mutual funds today and pay off your mortgage. Because if you wouldn't borrow on a paid-for house to end up with $200,000 in mutual funds, then taking out $100,000 to have a paid-for house is the exact same math. I can tell you that if I woke up in your shoes today, Trish, and I'd take my old house payment, just like you so wisely said a while ago, and use that to build my mutual funds back up to $200K, I'd be out of debt instantaneously.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad, please!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat!
The cat! Oh, and the neighbor's new car!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here! You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
That's Tom Petty. I know that one. This is also, I don't think this is my record, but the MC5 is definitely my record. 34 past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
In a moment, we will be talking to Christina Borgeson, who's edited a book called Into the Buzzsaw, a National Free Press Club Award winner. And also, it's all about the media and what gets in and what doesn't get in. Right now, here we go. This was from Bob Jones III. Dr. Bob Jones wrote a letter to the president, a thank you letter, I guess, basically, a congratulatory letter.
Yes.
Now, I'm just going to read again the first couple paragraphs quickly because we have another letter. Dear Mr. President, the media tells us that you have received the largest number of popular votes of any president in American history. Congratulations. In your reelection, God is gracious. We granted America, though she doesn't deserve it, a reprieve from the agenda of paganism. Paganism. You've been given a mandate. We the people expect your voice to be like the clear and certain sound of a trumpet, heralding in the rapture. He doesn't write that, I added. He said, you owe the liberals nothing. But now we've just gotten hold of another letter. This is a congratulatory letter to President George W. Bush from High Priest Lothar the Vile, president of Anton LaVey University. Dear Mr. President, congratulations on being reelected. The Dark Lord has graciously moved forward the hidden agenda of paganism. The fact that this was accomplished with the unwitting cooperation of the Christians is almost as delicious as the blood of their babies. Put your agenda on the front burner and let it boil, along with the bat wings, toad foot, and tongue of dog. This will give you a potent broth which will enhance your virility, draw women to you, and lower the prime lending rate by a quarter point. Your policy in Iraq will soon unleash the elder gods from their slumber beneath the ziggurat of Dagon. The beast will arise with his unholy consort, the great whore of Babylon, drunk on the blood of saints. But hey, that's a given. The beautiful thing is how well this dovetails with your environmental policy. 3 more degrees of global warming and our dark master can emerge from the gates of Cthulhu and take his rightful place on a throne of skulls as foretold in the blood-drenched pages of the Necronomicon. Oh, and we're all looking forward to more tax cuts. Yours in Satan, Lothar. Now, our guest who just had to sit through my nonsense is the editor of...
You think that's the only time he's read that letter?
Think again.
The editor of Into the Buzzsaw, leading journalist exposed the myth of free press. Christina Borgeson is here. Good morning.
Hi.
Thank you for indulging us.
It's a pleasure.
We were just talking about how these Christian groups are trying to stop them from even showing Private Ryan. Now, how did the times conflict? Does it make it different? Does it make it worse, better for getting stories out?
Look, here's the bottom line. You know, Janet Jackson's boob.
Yeah.
You know, Saving Private Ryan. Mm. All that stuff really is a lot of smokescreen stuff. I mean, it's important because it's butting up against the bottom line of, you know, freedom of expression, First Amendment, etc. But really, I mean, if we really, really, the things that we really need to know about are where's our money going? Where are all our billions going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's getting killed and why?
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that we really need to know about, and those are the things that we really can't report. You know, the whole business with Halliburton, every once in a while you see what's going on.
We talked about it today.
Yeah. You know, but there's no sort of consistent reporting on the arena of power in this country. And, you know, the whole fundamentalist issue even is kind of a smokescreen because you got to follow the money. You got to follow where these people are putting their money, where they're putting their people, who the people are, where those people have been in the past. I mean, this whole tribe is the Iran-Contra tribe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and who's... Do you understand what I'm
saying?
Some
of them are part of the Nixon tribe. Some of them go all the way back to, you know, anti-Kennedy.
This is why, like, in this book... This book is the handbook for investigative journalists who want to blow up their careers.
Good.
And the
they need that.
And the pornographic consequences for the American people.
Right.
In terms of lives lost, you know, in terms of where our money's going. I mean, the billions of dollars. People say, oh, you know, for example, Cheney. I'll just give you a quick example. Cheney,
take
you know,
yeah.
he quit Halliburton a million years ago. Blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he's like Halliburton's biggest, one of their biggest stockholders.
Sure, yeah.
And you know what? It would be really fascinating if an investigative reporter could, A, look at their income now and track that and see what they're making. And then 10 years down the line, look at the income stream, where it comes from. I mean, these are deals. What's going on here?
Yeah, sure. We've got evidence right here.
It's using fundamentalism.
Yeah.
It's using fundamentalism sort of as a smokescreen.
Sure.
Behind which the arena of power is working. When we talk about that, we're talking about the oligarchies, you know, the Bush oligarchy.
Sure.
And the only thing we can hope for in terms of how something can be fixed is a clash of the titans, really. The Rockefellers, it's oil in arms.
Sure,
okay,
and also it's about the truth.
You're scaring me.
It's about the truth getting out there. Like some of the stories in your books, you know, tell us about some of the stories and how they approached it.
The reason why I'm getting to chapter 4 in my book,
okay.
Which is, it's a 30-year investigation that exposes the context for the Iraq War and everything that's happened since Bush came into power. This is the most recent episode of The Great Game for Oil.
Mm-hmm.
And people go, oh, God, I've heard this. You've got to read
it. Not our listeners.
Nope.
Telling you, it's more pornographic than Janet Jackson's boob, okay? The money... And, you know, the American lives lost.
Sure.
And right now, you know, everybody's like, oh, Fallujah, we're going to finally get control of Fallujah, and this is going to be great. Fallujah, you know, if you put that Fallujah up against the mirror, the word that you're going to see is blowback.
Sure.
Okay? Yeah. Now, I don't know, did you guys read Bin Laden's transcript?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What did he say that he's doing? Who is George Bush's daddy right now? Who's the government's daddy? Bin Laden is. The whole business of bankruptcy, bleeding America, and bankrupting America,
sure.
It's been working fabulously. He spent $500,000 on the World Trade Center.
Sure.
And we have spent billions.
Well, I've got a theory that part of this thing about the bankrupting of the country is going to make the chasm, when everything has to be privatized because there's no money left, that the chasm between rich and poor will be so extreme they won't have to reinstate a draft. They could actually advertise the armed forces by just saying, hungry?
That's already happening now.
Yeah.
That's already happening now. And if you read, like, in Chapter 4, when it's called The War on Terror and the Great Game for Oil, how the media missed the context.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is all about, you know, how these oligarchies built up the oil business. And it's an oil and arms business, or you know, because the bottom line is oil is a national security issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you don't know the history of the oil industry in this country, really. because it's a national security issue. There's a lot of it that goes that's behind the scenes, and this chapter. I mean, I don't have time to go into all the details, but
sure.
This chapter really reveals it. And you know, this journalist who did this, mm-hmm. Charlotte Dennett and her husband, that's their specialty. They're like the Rolls Royce of investigative journalists. They investigate oligarchies like the DuPonts
mm-hmm.
and the Bushes. And they've had their books. There's a term called privished, which you probably never heard of. But the
DuPonts. Like it.
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
Yeah, you know what it sounds like. Well, you know, they had their book privished or privished by the DuPont family because it was an expose of
mean?
The history of their.
It means squashed.
It's when your own publisher kills your book without you knowing.
Buckles to the interests of money.
Exactly. You get a call from the DuPonts and the privishing, and he explains the whole process and how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, nowadays, these types of books don't even make it to publishers.
But I got to figure that most journalists don't want to be investigative journalists because they don't figure it's going to pay off in the long run. I mean, they got to be looking at guys that are making six, seven figures, in particularly television news, and they got to think to themselves, well, these are not people that are going around exposing stuff. The people who are going around exposing stuff have trouble feeding their kids.
Well, listen, in this book, a lot of the people in this book, I mean, this is why this book is so controversial. I was at CBS when I had my little experience and blew up my career.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
What happened?
I mean,
you got to shut up.
You can't
this.
Just drop that.
Wait, you blew up your own career.
I'll tell you what. Hold that thought. We're going to come back with Christina Borgeson and hear how she blew up her career. It's 43 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Dear Mr. President, because the state of our feelings can narrow the range of our insights, deceptions are easily hidden in presumptions of innocence. And because every brick in hell is molded by habits and perspectives, war is always compelled by limits and understanding. Therefore, for dignity, please remember, any spiritual precept thought to be above criticism is too vainly filled with pride to leave room for divine humanity or moral governance. For contemplative education at Motto Citizens, behind the book and the oracle for the way to see whole, my name is Gola Wolf Richards. And for victory over blood spilled by confusion, I believe that nothing beats a failure but a try. Therefore, I wrote and recorded Silver Lessons for Global Citizenship, among other works that are Speaking for Virtue at MOTTOCitizens.com.
Do you know where your children are on the internet? In the U.S., thousands of children are affected by internet crimes every day across the country. You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Help educate our children.
Join the PCP, Printer Cartridge Recycling Program. Don't toss that cartridge. Call 1-866-STOP-ABUSE.
It doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in preventing internet crimes across the nation. It is an effective project for schools, corporations, businesses, offices, private homes, and best of all, the environment.
Don't toss. For every cartridge you return, the Child Abuse Unit receives $1 towards the education on Internet safety.
You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Educate your children.
And remember, it doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in protecting us and promoting Internet safety. Don't toss.
Sponsored by the Child Abuse Unit, SPCC, 1-866-STOP-ABUSE. For more information, go to childabuseunit.com. Keep our children safe on the Internet. Childabuseunit.com.
Cracked Up plays George Carlin, Raw Dog plays him too. Cracked Up plays the cleaner bit, and Raw Dog plays the blue. Raw Dog's 147, Cracked Up's 146. Both play lots of comedy and other funny shit.
Cracked Up and Raw Dog, two flavors of funny from Sirius.
If FM could, they probably would. It's radio that's cool, no FCC rules.
Are you significant? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. The dictionary defines significant as someone who is noteworthy, valuable, or important. In our culture, we determine our significance by what we have, what we do for a living, and by comparing ourselves to others. But none of these are really good definitions. We should not look at outward signs and appearances to determine our significance. Instead, we should look at our hearts. An ancient proverb says, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Remember, Your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
All your important files are on your office PC. What do you do when you want to work from home or access a file while traveling? You copy files to disk, email documents home, or sync up your laptop. What a hassle. Now, there's a perfect solution for working from anywhere at any time. With GoToMyPC.com, you can always have complete access to everything on your office PC from any other internet-connected computer. It's easy to use and highly secure. You simply log into GoToMyPC.com and your office PC appears just as if you were at your desk. Work with all your programs and files. Check emails and access your network. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the radio listener button and enter promo code SERIOUS. GoToMyPC is incredibly easy to use. Setup is completely automatic and takes less than 2 minutes. That's GoToMyPC.com. Radio listener button, promo code SERIOUS. Try GoToMyPC.com now, free for 45 days.
We're all hearing a lot about youth violence these days, but you know what? Crime and violence among teens is actually going down. The secret to keeping it down is to help our kids learn about things like self-respect and empathy and how to solve conflicts without resorting to violence. Teach your children how to steer clear of violence. Who knows? You might just save a life. A message from Big Brothers Big Sisters of America, the Boys and Girls Clubs of America, and the Center for the Prevention of School Violence.
Past the hour, we're all going to take a deep breath and try and land this thing in a nice end of the week way. That's Mark Riley. I'm Mark Maron. Our guest is Christina Borgeson. Her book is Into the Buzzsaw, Leading Journalists Expose the Myth of a Free Press. You were about to tell us, you know, how the bleep hit the fan at CBS for you.
Okay, I'm going to do this really briefly because I was assigned to do the conspiracy story of all time, which is TWA 800.
Okay.
And essentially what happened was the FBI came after me at one point. Because
really?
Because I had received a piece of evidence from inside the investigation that had actually been sent out by a National Transportation Safety Board investigator who thought something fishy was going on and that there was a cover-up going on. So he sent it to a guy who sent it to me.
Right.
And I was going to test this thing. Because ostensibly it was a piece of seat foam that had this red stuff on that this other guy was saying was solid rocket missile fuel.
Right.
And so I said, okay, for 60 minutes I'll test it and I'll, you know, do the Geraldo thing.
Yeah.
And the FBI, like, had been bird dogging the FedEx that he sent to me, and literally a day or two after I received it, they came and said, oh, this has been stolen. You have to give it right back. My producers at CBS just... you know, much to my disappointment.
Folded like a card table.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, of course, three weeks later, I was out of there.
Wow,
really?
And your account of this is in the book, right?
Yeah, yeah. And and then I was assigned to do it for ABC, for a series, and the entire series was shut down because
right.
I was doing the story. It's all in the book, but, I mean, this book defines for you where the limits of the press are in this array of stories. And I just want to mention, by the way, like,
sure.
So these people are extraordinary people. Jane Acree has been fighting with Fox for 8 years because she refused to falsify her story on Monsanto's bovine growth hormone.
Yeah.
Do you know, she's 8 years later, she's still fighting. She's completely bankrupt. Her marriage is blown to hell. And she now owes Fox $200,000 because Fox appealed the case that she won on under the Whistleblower Act. And the reason why they won the appeal was because there are no laws in the books prohibiting news operations from lying to the public.
Wow.
Really?
That's
crazy.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Aren't news operations supposed to be operating in the public interest? Aren't they licensed by the FCC or something?
What does have credibility, for God's sake?
Well, there you go. I mean, exactly. The wait a minute. But you understand this...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
What's real and what should be is not what is.
Right.
You know, and now we have this whole group now that they admit themselves, they're creating the reality as they go along.
Sure, there's a couple of those groups.
Exactly. While we're sitting around going, huh, this isn't true. No, this isn't true. Oh, we can expose this as not true. It doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
Because everybody, they're saying this is what is, and everybody acts, whether it's true or not, and a lot of times it's not true, they act as if it's true.
Right, and it's not necessarily because they are aware parts of a conspiracy. They are just part of a momentum that just goes up. I can't imagine that, you know, every one of them is onto the agenda.
The Iraq war thing, yeah. For example,
okay.
Absolutely made no sense. It
right.
Absolutely never made any sense to say, oh, we're going to Iraq because, you know, bin Laden and his crew blew up the World Trade Center. It never made any sense. And the press never really made a big deal about this cognitive dissonance.
But even when they did, even when there was a commitment to a lie, the lie was exposed and they kept recommitting to the lie. It didn't seem to have an effect.
Because the press allowed them to go on there and say, you know, Saddam Hussein, Iraq, Saddam Hussein, or Saddam Hussein, 9/11, Saddam Hussein, and the press didn't come out right behind him and go, no, it's a lie,
right.
No, it's a lie, no, it's not true. IAEA report that you're saying, you know,
right.
Shows that it's not true,
we
it's
did.
Not true. You did, but you don't hit mass public consciousness yet.
We don't?
No, that's what you have to understand.
Oh, damn,
the only press that matters is the press that reaches mass public consciousness.
I thought we were... Hey, Clutch,
oh,
you told me that we were...
Hey, Jonathan, you keep blowing us up here.
I thought people were listening to us.
Wow, man.
Listen,
okay.
I listen to you guys, okay?
Oh,
but
okay.
I'm telling you...
But you already know all this stuff.
You gotta hit the mass public consciousness.
Right. Let's talk about some of the other authors in the book. You got Greg Palast, who's a guest here.
Yes.
There's a piece by him. J. Robert Port, who's that?
Oh, Bob Port. He works for the Daily News, the
Investigative
Reporter.
Okay.
And you know what's interesting about him? He tried to report on this massacre that occurred back in the Korean War.
Right.
And they were, and the AP, Bocardi, by the way, who's the guy who's looking into what happened to Dan Rather,
mm-hmm.
Bocardi was his boss, tried to shut his story down. He says, oh, you're making the American soldiers look bad because it was a massacre that was perpetrated by American soldiers. This is our history, even, that we can't report.
Right.
So anyway, after a while, after a lot of pressure, and after Bob Port loses his job, Bocardi allows the story to go, although he takes out the word massacre in everywhere in the report. And
what
guess what?
Put in place a massacre? Party?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But, and I'm telling you, this is the guy who's now investigating the whole fake document thing on the story.
Right. And he's got a history of shutting these stories down.
Anyway, he finally let the story out, and it won a Pulitzer Prize after, you know, Bob Port goes through the eye of the needle. I mean, all these stories, these people are the Rolls Royce of the journalism community, and their numbers are getting smaller and smaller. They need your support.
Yeah, you got Robert McChesney in here, who's a great media
critic.
Yeah,
Bob McChesney. You've got a guy who's the most amazing reporter on the CIA. He's been reporting on the CIA forever, who writes about how basically the CIA commits over 100,000 serious crimes around the world every year.
Ooh.
Can you spell blowback?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and there's a law that was passed during the Clinton era to sort of cover them, saying, well, if you're breaking a law on behalf of the United States government, no matter where it is or what it is, including assassination,
it's okay.
So now we're going around killing... CIA kills, you know, has killed scores of civilians going after bin Laden, going after... You know,
and sometimes they're instructed
guy.
To kill people to start things. They're provocateurs.
Well, what's interesting is sometimes they just make mistakes because their intelligence is bad. And Rumsfeld was the one who came out and said, well, you know, these are bad people. And you know, sometimes you have to go on 95% good intelligence as opposed to 100% good intelligence. Well, we'll tell that to all the innocent people who are being killed, you
exactly,
know.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, these are the types of stories that don't get out. But what they are collectively is a lifting of the veil on the arena of power, and which is what you can't look at. You
right.
cannot look at the arena of power. And the arena of power is, of course, the government and its activities nationally and internationally that really affect huge numbers of people, and, of course, corporations.
Right. You have to avert your eyes lest you write down what you saw, and they have to kill you for it.
Yeah, right.
Well, and you have to understand that the laws that apply to us, laws and rules and regulations that apply to us,
yeah.
in the arena of power, it's a whole other game. It's a whole other reality. It's a whole other paradigm. And that's what these stories do. It's sort of, they sort of lift up the veil a little bit so you can see how it works. And that's why I'm saying, forget Janet Jackson's boob. You know, forget the election fraud thing. It's over. You know, here's the thing. Let me just say this. nothing can be done to change the fact that he's president. Nothing.
Right.
Okay, so you can, just like they said, you can go ahead and look for the facts and figures on, but, you know, we've already moved on. We're in Fallujah.
Yeah.
We're going to go,
yeah.
You know, we're going to do this. And that's what you have to do. You got to keep your eye on the ball.
Right.
And that's what these people do. And, of course, a lot of them blew up their careers for it. But these are the types of people that we need now.
Do you think that's one of the reasons why people don't do what they did? Is that a fear for their lives and fear for, you
know? First of all, no mainstream outlet is going to want these people. They're troublemakers.
Well, let me plug the book here. The book is Into the Buzzsaw, The Leading Journalists Exposed the Myth of a Free Press. Our guest has been Christina Borgeson. You can get the book on our website, morningsedition.com, at a discount. It is a must-read. It's got a foreword by Gore Vidal. It's got some great stuff in it. And it is a very urgent issue.
It certainly is.
In freeing the truth.
We got to have you back up here again sometime, sir. Because you've been a really good kid. We enjoyed our time.
Yeah, there was a couple moments where my heart started beating faster.
Yeah, me too.
She was talking. I'm like, oh, my God, is everything okay? Are we going to be okay here? There's an urgency that I'm missing. Wow.
It's deep, right?
It is deep.
It's deep.
So,
but see, this is what we've been leading up to all these years. When you have a media, an investigative media that is largely profit-driven, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
It's as simple as that.
So you can have a good weekend, right, Christina? You're
going to be okay?
I live, sleep, and eat with this stuff.
Okay. I kind of got that feeling.
Hey, listen, I don't live that far away. Any trouble, let me know, all right?
Okay, I'll be calling you.
Oh, no, you're both going to be up all weekend. We're in trouble. It's over. Here's the liberal agenda for today from the Streisand compound. See, could you? Thanks for handing that to me from the fax machine, Christina. I appreciate it. 1, 10 days since the election. Try to spend less than an hour shivering in a fetal position, Christina. All right. 2, blame U.S. policy for the problems in the Ivory Coast. If time permits, find out what the problems in the Ivory Coast actually are. 3, find an unused color for a ribbon to promote awareness of people suffering from major head trips. Okay. 4, before a new nominee is named, point out that we've never had a Secretary of Commerce who believed in the barter system. Phrase of the day, throw it in the conversation. You know that Attorney General designate Gonzalez wrote those torture memos on non-recyclable paper, man. Wake up, people. Thank you.
Coming up on Monday's Morning Edition, Mark Danner from The New Yorker will talk about Alberto Gonzalez torturing the war on terror. We got some great guests. Be with us on Monday. Have a good weekend, Mary.
You too, Riley.
Air America Radio.